much about. So easy. You gotta put it in
perspective. What is the monkey doing? Tell me what the monkey is doing.
He ripped her face off!
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Let me ask you something. When you come in on Monday and you're not feeling real well, does anyone ever say to you, sounds like someone has a case of the Mondays?
No. No, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that, man.
All right. Here at the Grammy Roundtable with Ronnie and Cool of none other than Cool and the Gang. How are you gentlemen doing?
Well, wonderful. How are you?
Fantastic. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but one of your biggest hits goes a little something like this. Do a little dance, make a little love, get down tonight?
No, and now.
Now, what songs do you do?
Our feature presentation.
Whitney Houston.
Dead?
No, not yet.
Oh. Wow.
What was that?
Nice job, Kevin.
What was that from?
That was pretty recent, wasn't it?
Monday. Last Monday, 1 week ago, yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow, that's weird.
He says it here, it comes out there.
Happens there.
Man.
Way to go, Kevin.
Don't cross me. That's all I'm saying.
Kevin breaks up bands, kills people. It's unbelievable.
Didn't really kill anyone.
Morning, everybody. It's an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It's a Monday morning.
What's going on, you guys?
What's happening?
Well, we'll talk about the Whitney story, talk about the Grammys, talk about a lot of stuff coming up. It was a big, big news weekend. But I want to start with this story that I know will be near and dear to your heart because the headline alone says it all for you, Kevin. Fart joke leads to bomb scare.
Bomb scare. How about that?
That's a fart.
That's a powerful, powerful blast of gas right there. Here's the article from the Huffington Post today. This comes out of Mississippi. Harold Wayne Hadley Jr., 19 years old, arrested at a Mississippi junior college after he allegedly wrote a note on a piece of toilet paper on Tuesday containing the word bomb. The note prompted 11 emergency agencies to respond to the school, but there was no bomb. Hadley and his family contend that he was only explaining the joy of flatulating in the library. Now, I'm going to read more from this story, but who enjoys, outside of Adam Carolla, who enjoys farts so much that they need to spread the word and write about it and brag about it and tell the world about it?
I don't know. And that's also, that the only word he used was bomb?
No. Oh, that okay. I said it contained the word
bomb.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Okay.
He was in the restroom doodling on some toilet paper. We are from the country, and he calls passing gas bombs, says his aunt, who would not give her name to WDAM television.
Oh, sure. You're dropping bombs. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's what he meant, right? Yeah, he put, I passed a bomb in the library, talking about passing gas. Somebody came in and found it, gave it to a teacher, and it all got blown out of proportion from there. So he wrote this on, I mean, he's so proud of wrecking that restroom that he wrote on a piece of toilet paper and left it in the bathroom for somebody else to find? That's what it sounds like happened here. And then somebody else did find it and then took it to the authorities or took it to the administration and said, hey, I found this in the bathroom. It's a bomb threat.
Wow. That's crazy.
Maybe he meant to give it to somebody.
But even so, what's the point of writing?
You know how those guys are.
Yeah, of course, but
you guys are.
But who leaves a note for the next guy in the men's restroom stall?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Maybe he meant to take it with him and give it to a friend.
Like all right, let me back up a step before that then. Right. Who pulls out a pen or pencil while sitting on the toilet and starts writing anything on toilet paper?
That toilet paper must be very rough.
Plus, it's a momentous occasion theme. I mean, maybe it was. Maybe it was like, wow. That might have been my best.
Yeah,
and in that case, perhaps you need to take notes.
Okay. In other words, I don't see it, but that I'm not as fascinated with the rear end as you are. But
whoa.
I mean, he was just bragging, and he was just, I guess, just showing off. And he was just like, hey, follow that. Is that what the message was, you think, to the next guy?
Just the message to the next guy was, see if you can stay alive for the next 5 minutes.
You think this is bad? Go to the library.
Mr. Hadley was arrested and held on $20,000 bail. If convicted of threatening to blow up the school, he faces 10 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
He, by the way, earned straight A's at the junior college where the library was and was scheduled to, and may still, graduate in May. He's on track to graduate in May with straight A's, but apparently just, just loves to farts.
I don't know what that major would be, but.
Look at
here my whole thing. Once the misunderstanding is unveiled, you go, hey, stupid thing to do, but obviously we're not going to send you to jail and you're not going to blah, blah, blah. But I wouldn't mind if they said, hey, you have to pay for the 11 emergency agencies that had to respond to the school thinking it was a bomb threat. I mean, that's on you, right?
No.
I don't know. I mean, maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe they would have needed to come out and help out anyway because it really was that bad or good or whatever you want to say.
Well, he's one of your people, so there you go. There's Harold Wayne Hadley Jr., 19. Well done.
Must have been something. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Come on, guys, a little effort.
All right, got a Grammy recap for you.
Okay.
Bean, you have the clips, right?
I do. Yeah.
I thought I was going to kill myself. I'll just say
Why?
Just a terrible Grammys.
It wasn't a terrible Grammys. But it was 3.5 hours of lots of different styles of music. So
Containing banjos.
So it is. It's very difficult to put on a show that it's going to appeal to each individual person. If you didn't like something, you stick around for the next thing.
And then that you don't like. 15-hour tribute to Glenn Campbell.
Wow,
then
really?
Then they wheel out the Beach Boys. I don't know what was happening last night. It was only Oldster night. Anyway, Bean has highlights, and hopefully he can bring it to life for those of you that didn't get a chance to sit through that 10-hour ordeal. We also have Chris Hardwick, who's going to be on the program today in about a half hour talking about last night's premiere of Walking Dead.
Yes!
That was awesome.
Yes.
Love it so much. We have Matt Money Smith talking sports, talking Jeremy Lin.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had to get somebody on to talk about this. It's been a long time since somebody has debuted.
Debuted like that. Yeah. Also on the show today, we have, we have somebody from the LA Times. We have Randall Roberts from the LA Times. He's a music critic, and he is going to be talking about the Grammys and giving us a full recap. We have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, and we have a bunch of more beer mug interviews. So,
excellent.
So, good times with that. You're back, Bean?
I'm back, yeah. I don't know what happened. I'm in the middle of having a Jeremy Lin conversation. The next minute, I'm talking to myself. It was weird.
I think the system rejected you.
Were you talking about new beer mug interviews from the roundtable?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Have we heard any of them? Are they awesome?
I have not. I'm going to go listen now. But I can guarantee you, without listening, that they're awesome.
After Cool and the Gang on Friday and Joe Jackson, oh, my God.
I don't know. I don't know how you get better, but.
I think Beer Mug has just bought himself another 3 to 4 weeks at this job, just from the strength of those interviews alone. Because he was teetering. He was this close to being fired, but then he brought in the gold with the Cool of the Gang. And I went, all right, let's give him till the end of February at least.
Maybe he's got a little something we're not aware of.
Maybe.
So that's coming up as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday, the 13th of February, the day after the Grammys. We'll get to those in a minute. And we'll start with the Showbiz Beat now, in for Ralph Garman, who's on vacation this week, talking about the big story of the weekend. What was your level of surprise, you guys, when you saw the word that Whitney Houston was dead on Saturday?
Was this in the news?
Yeah, I hadn't heard much about her, like, being out and being crazy. And I mean, I really didn't know if she was still using drugs or what was going on with her.
She's been pretty off the radar for a number of years, hasn't she?
Yeah.
For me, it was sad, but everybody knew it was coming.
Not a complete
surprise. I can't imagine anyone was surprised. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just sad.
I sure wasn't surprised. I mean, it was like Anna Nicole Smith or Amy Winehouse or even Michael Jackson all over again. But 48 years old, famous for singing that song from that movie. But really, for me, famous really more for this.
Crack is cheap. I made too much money to ever smoke crack. Let's get that straight, okay? We don't do crack. We don't do that. Crack is whack.
You listen to that voice, and that was from almost 10 years ago, and you go, wow, how is she able to sing at all, right?
Crack is whack.
But just 48 years old, and I know we'll talk to Harvey Levin later on today, and he'll have a lot more on what I guess they haven't released the details. They've already done the autopsy, and she was beyond being able to bring back once the medics got there. She had, we don't know what killed her yet, but she was, you know, underwater at the time in her bathtub, so there wasn't really much they could do in terms of reviving her. She was already gone. But I don't know. I can't imagine what it was. I mean, it's weird to me, and it's weird to me to think about her being in that bathtub and having all those people on the other side of the door in the room and nobody hearing anything.
Yeah.
Like you think there'd be some sort of noise. Like if it was a heart attack, there'd be at least a moment of being able to yell out. Or did she just fall asleep and slip into the tub?
Well, they're talking about Xanax, which they are.
They're talking about Xanax and alcohol and maybe some other prescription drugs. So she might have just quietly passed.
Yeah. Might have just fallen asleep, yeah.
Away or passed. Yeah, exactly.
Well, they, I thought, did a, and I know you probably didn't see the whole show, Kevin, but imagine being the Grammys producer and knowing that that show is tomorrow when you get dropped that bombshell.
Yeah.
And you've got the entire show planned out. You've got no room for anything. How do you handle it? At least they had a host this year. And I thought that LL Cool J, while he didn't really impress me much as a host because he didn't really bring much in terms of any kind of personality or attitude or anything. I mean, he was certainly competent. He's fine.
I thought he was good just because he didn't try to overstep what he could do.
If you're going to have a host, though, it'd be nice to hire somebody. And for a show like the Grammys, you should be able to get, a Jimmy Kimmel or somebody who's going to make it entertaining. I don't know what the point is of having a guy, but I guess they're glad they had a live person there because at least he could address it almost first thing on the Grammys. They opened the show with Bruce Springsteen performing his new song, and then LL Cool J came out.
There is no way around this. We've had a death in our family. And so at least for me, the only thing that feels right is to begin with a prayer for a woman who we loved, for our fallen sister, Whitney Houston.
And then they went into a prayer, in fact, and he did a pretty nice transition into getting into the rest of the show. And there wasn't much else. I mean, there were a couple of shout-outs from the stage, We Miss You, Whitney, and then Jennifer Hudson came out later and sang a little bit of I Will Always Love You, and that was kind of the tribute. So they didn't really do much with it in the show, but it was definitely in the air. There was no question about that. Big winners of the night, of course, as no surprise that Adele won every single award that she was nominated for. All six of them.
Did she get a standing O for every single one? It seemed like it.
I think she did. And I was thinking about this last night as I was watching it, because so often we walk away from the Grammys, and we'll have a lot more audio that we'll play for you later, next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to do some other showbiz here. But so often we walk away after the Grammys, and somebody's disappointed by the album of the year. Somebody says, oh, what a ripoff. It should have been this. It shouldn't have been that. Oh, I wish it had been this. Well, that's not fair that it was that. Everybody knew it was going to be Adele, and everybody was happy that it was Adele, because I don't think you can find anybody, no matter what kind of music you like, who doesn't love that record.
Yeah, or her, which is a really weird situation in the world of music. It seems like it's super easy to hate on people,
right?
But somehow everyone loves her.
Except that she's fat, though, right, Kevin? I mean, there's that.
No, I thought she looked pretty good.
She's a beautiful girl.
How
she's
dare you girl. Be?
But she just seems to have just crossed all boundaries, and she even made mention of that in one of her many speeches that she gave last night. She's like, look, I know this isn't your basic pop record, referring to Rolling in the Deep, which won Song of the Year and Record of the Year. She says, I know this isn't your basic pop record, but thanks to radio for playing it across all formats, because, you know, that doesn't happen very often anymore.
That's true.
And it seemed like it worked everywhere. But, it was definitely her night, and I think she was appreciative, that's for sure. I think it's still overwhelming for her. She's young, you know, to have all of this happening.
Yeah.
Couple of other Grammys just to mention. Best New Artist was Bon Iver. Wait till you hear his speech. We got that for you. Foo Fighters were the second biggest winners of the night. They won five of the six that they were nominated for. And Dave Grohl was on the show. It seems like about every 20 minutes they brought Dave Grohl back out to perform again.
Yeah, it was sort of like a, hey, we need a little more rock. Where's Dave?
I know. He's almost the only guy they brought out there, though.
Yeah.
And although Kanye wasn't there, he was also a big winner. He won four Grammys last night, and including Best Rap Album for Watch the Throne with Jay-Z. But as I mentioned, he wasn't there. Jay-Z wasn't there, so they had to accept on his behalf.
All right, let's talk about some other entertainment news. Alexander Skarsgård, you might recognize the name, maybe not.
I do.
From True Blood?
Yes.
New York Post Page 6 says there was a girl that was really, really, really excited to meet him and asked for his gum. So he handed her the gum out of his mouth, and she took it and she put it in her mouth.
Oh my gosh.
And chewed it for, 6 hours. That's a little gross, right?
That's a little gross.
I mean, even if it was Katy Perry's gum, I'd probably do the same thing, actually.
That's taking it too far for me. I'm sorry. I'll take the gum out of her mouth, but I won't chew it for that. I didn't want to watch the BAFTAs this weekend, the British Academy of Film Awards, which is their version of the Oscars, because it's all the same people winning all the same awards that they're going to be winning next month in the United States, and I'd like to at least be able to stay awake during the Oscars. But in case you are wondering, and it is very often an indicator of what we are going to see, not always, it doesn't always sync up, but there's a good chance if you win a BAFTA that you're also going to win an Oscar. Kevin, you're going to be very delighted to know that it was all about the artist. It picked up 7 awards at the Oscars, including Best Picture. It also picked up Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, which...
Best Original Screenplay?
And the guy who wrote the movie even mentioned what you're thinking right now, which is he's a little bit surprised that he won because so many people thought there wasn't a script because there wasn't dialogue, but still it had to be written out what everybody was supposed to be doing.
Here's a blank piece of paper. Now go do it.
They didn't ad-lib the movie, you know.
Well, yeah, well,
of course not,
they could have 100%.
Also, Meryl Streep won for The Iron Lady, which apparently her performance is great. The movie just so-so is the word on that. Yeah. Jean Dujardin won for Best Actor. Best Supporting Actress went to Octavia Spencer for her performance as Minnie in The Help. And Christopher Plummer won for Best Supporting Actor in The Beginners movie. Again, sounding very much like what the Oscars are going to look like next month.
Us Weekly is reporting that Scarlett Johansson's dude, Nate Taylor, apparently, I'm sorry, Naylor, Nate Naylor. Mm-hmm. He's a real romantic. He's really romantic, they report, because Scarlett Johansson was laying there in Hawaii, and he was rubbing sunscreen on her.
Aww.
Oh, he was willing to rub sunscreen on Scarlett Johansson?
He was willing to touch that beast.
That is so nice.
That's what I was thinking. I read the story, and I was like, who wouldn't rub sunscreen on Scarlett Johansson? That's not... He doesn't get points for that.
Yeah.
I would pay $7,000 to fly to New York in the winter just to stand next to her on the red carpet.
Right. You wouldn't do it, but you would pay it.
I would pay it. Right. Exactly. Well, that's very impressive.
Isn't that nice? That guy.
To get his hands dirty like that.
That's something.
And finally for me, speaking of movies at the box office this weekend, Kevin, you get to see your Denzel Washington. You go make it out to that? How was that?
It was great.
I heard it was.
It really was just energy from the beginning to the end. And who's the actor that is not Denzel Washington?
Ryan Reynolds?
Yes, Ryan Reynolds was better than Denzel Washington.
No kidding.
He was really great.
Mr. Movie Phone said
that. He said if you can get anyone to look at anything else on the screen when Denzel Washington is there, then you're doing a great job. He was even given Ryan Reynolds prop, and Ryan Reynolds is not known as a great actor,
no,
so that's pretty impressive.
Really was good. It was a good movie.
Excellent.
Well, that movie almost came in at number one. $39.3 million came in at number two, just behind The Vow, which Lisa May, I know you and the girlfriends were going to see it. $41.7 million. How was that?
Barely okay.
Really?
Why were you cheering then?
Okay. Because I went.
Barely okay.
Yeah.
Not even just good?
Nope.
Just barely okay.
Barely okay.
Wow. Which you knew going in, though, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what you were expecting. See, so Kevin wins because his movie probably was a little better than he thought it was going to be. Yours was worse than you thought it was going to be. So
no, mine is exactly what I thought it was going to be.
You thought it was barely going to be good.
Yeah. Wow. One review I heard was talking about, now I can't think of the guy's name.
Doesn't matter.
Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
His dead little eyes.
Mr. Movie Phone said that as well, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Yep.
You knew you heard it somewhere. The latest from The Rock came in at number three. That's The Journey 2 with $27.6 million. Then the re-release of Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace, has debuted. Is this the third or fourth time it's been in theaters? But it made another $23 million.
That's crazy.
Because George Lucas hasn't made enough money off the Star Wars franchise. Chronicle, number five at 12.3. Then The Woman in Black, The Gray, Big Miracle, The Descendants, and Underworld Awakening rounds out your top 10.
Celebrity birthdays for this hour. Talk show host Jerry Springer is 68 years old. Jerry Springer.
Is he still doing that show? Is he still on?
He is.
Really? I never come across that on my TV anymore. All right.
It's on, I think it's in the morning, 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. So good. He really, without Jerry Springer, this world would go right to hell. Singer Peter Gabriel is 62. Bassist Peter Hook of New Order and Joy Division is 56. Singer Henry Rollins is 51. Call Psycho Mike. He's got Henry Rollins answering his phone. It's really bizarre.
And he's got a Black Flag tattoo on him, Henry Rollins' old band.
Actress Kelly Hu is 44. Singer Feist is 36. Hotter than ever. And actress Mina Savara. Come on.
Yep.
Mina Savar is something else. She's 30, all right. 33 years old, and that is the show.
I'm just saying that even with the DVR, Sunday nights are getting out of control.
Yeah, they really are.
Ridiculous with all the shows, and now with The Walking Dead came back last night, and the new Kevin Smith show after that, and then Celebrity Apprentice is next Sunday night. How are we going to have time to... I need Mondays off.
I know.
I'm not going to be able to come in on Mondays anymore, because I have to catch up on all the stuff from Sunday night.
Well, you forgot Talking Dead as well with Chris Hardwick.
Well, that's right.
How could I forget that? I DVR'd that as well. I'll be catching up today. Our friend Chris Hardwick, of course, is The Nerdist from TheNerdist.com. Best-selling book in stores and online now called The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level. And he is the host of The Talking Dead, which airs on Sunday nights after The Walking Dead. Chris, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
It's nice to see you. It's nice to see you.
Please tell me you're in New York or something and we didn't drag your ass out of bed in the middle of the goddamn night to come on with us.
No, I am in the middle of the goddamn night here in L.A., but I don't mind because...
Oh, you're very kind.
I love talking to you guys, so yeah. I'm happy to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Next week, can we do it at 5:30?
Okay.
Here's what's awesome about The Talking Dead, by the way. And is this, I mean, except for The Hills, they did the After The Hills show. This is very rare in television where you almost immediately after something airs have a bunch of people on discussing it and taking calls and answering questions from listeners. I mean, this is a kind of an oddity in the TV world. How did this happen for this show, Chris? Do you know?
I think it was just the idea that they kind of looked at a show like The Walking Dead and they realized that it's so dense with stuff. I mean, you watch an episode of that show and you just need to information dump on someone.
Yeah.
As gross as that sounds.
Not to mention that we all have this backstory and this history and the way things work when it comes to zombies, and sometimes it's a little bit different. You know, you learn something, you got to try and figure out what this show's take is on it and keep up with it.
Yeah, exactly. And especially, you know, a show like this, like even if you read all the comics, which I did, it's a kind of a different storyline. And so you can't really tell who's up to what and what's going to happen. And, you know, they obviously have no problem just killing main characters.
Love that.
You kind of need to deal with that emotionally. And so that's sort of what we do on the show. And a prerequisite is if you're a guest on the show, you can't come on just to promote. You have to actually watch the show.
You have to be a fan and watch the show. Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk about last night's episode in a second here, so I want to give a giant spoiler alert to people who are either listening live or listening on the podcast this week if you have not yet seen Sunday night's episode, because we don't want to ruin that for you. Now, I taped your Talking Dead. How was Dave Navarro on the show, and how much of a fan is he?
He was great, and he really is a fan. And Glenn Mazzara, who's the, you know, he's the showrunner, was phenomenal, because Dave, who clearly loves the show... You know, he had a couple of questions and concerns, and like, well, why is this like this, and why aren't there more of this? And Glenn was like so open and excited to just sort of talk about it and be like, well, here's why, and you know, more of this thing is coming, and don't worry, you know. And it was a really engaging conversation with Dave.
Nothing is funnier and points out more poignantly how unfair life is than when you see a showrunner for The Walking Dead sitting on the couch looking like that next to Dave Navarro looking like that. It just shows you that although they may both be of the same species, the life isn't fair, right, Chris?
Well, actually, Glenn Mazzara actually did show up in lace-up jeans.
Yeah, and, there you go.
Nice.
Oh, Dave, you wore yours, so they we made him change.
Hardwick,
so
you got to do that next week.
Well, Kevin, you ask about last night's episode, that I have some bigger general Walking Dead questions.
Here's this is even a bigger general one, but I'm done with Dale. Anyone else? Can we shoot that guy?
Oh, Dale. Stupid. Really pretty annoying.
Old guy with the white beard that acts like
he
knows everything and doesn't.
He's cranky.
Live with those beady eyes. Stop it.
What I think Dale is doing is brilliant. I think he's waging this passive-aggressive warfare from within the group to poison Shane's name from within. Because obviously Shane could rip his head off.
Yeah, of course.
So just him going around going, I don't know about this Shane guy.
Can I hear that impression again?
Kevin, this is Dale talking right now. that's about my level of impression.
But still. I think the blonde woman, who's kind of his, he pictures her as his daughter, should shoot him right in the head. I mean, let's get to this, because Dale's driving me crazy.
Oh, is that the problem? There's not enough killing on the show for you, Kevin, anymore?
If there's plenty of killing, let's take Dale out. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, no, I love Dale. I love the fishing hat. Well, especially Dale. Like, some really interesting stuff happens with Dale in the comic book that I hope they get to.
Oh, now, see, that's the stuff I don't know. So there's more storyline just in him poo-pooing every idea that comes along?
Exactly. I mean, the comics are so worth a read if you just, you're like, you know, pick it up on the iPad and just, like, flip through.
I don't read.
It's a phenomenal. Well, okay. Well, there you go.
It's a comic book, Kevin.
Kevin says reading is for losers, Chris.
It's as little reading as you could possibly do.
Let me ask you this big picture question. If you're just joining us, our friend Chris Hardwick here on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is the host of The Talking Dead on AMC, which airs Sunday nights after The Walking Dead, which came back last night. How widespread is the zombie invasion? Is it around the whole world? Is it just in the southern United States? Is it over the whole country?
We're assuming it's around the whole country, but I think that's sort of the cool part about the way that the show is done, the comic too, is that you never really know. And also, you kind of lose track of time. Like, we don't know exactly how much time has passed.
Uh-huh.
And so you really only have the limited perspective that the survivors have. And I think that's
right.
Kind of mad thing about it.
One of the characters last night even made a reference that got me thinking about it, where they said they had, you know, everybody's talking about rumors of how to get away or where it's safe. And somebody actually talked about taking a boat to the islands or something like that. And it made me think, oh, maybe, you know, there are places in the earth where they are immune from what happened.
It's possible, but I think... I just sort of assume, you know, because of the way that the zombie virus worked, that it just got everyone. But, you know, you never know. Because also, if there were other parts of the world that were okay, I mean, like, they would have seen something, right? Like a flyover or something. I mean, you know, it's been a little while for them now.
Yeah.
So I think it got everyone.
So there's essentially no law enforcement. That was kind of established even in the first season. There's no law enforcement. There's no government. It's like the Wild West. It's, you know, you're working for yourself basically.
Until the shootout, the OK Corral at the end. Not to give anything away, but
no kidding, right? But
so amazing.
That was great.
It was phenomenal and so well acted and so well directed. I mean, really brilliant, brilliant stuff that last 20 minutes. But where's all the, like, gasoline coming from? Where are the bullets coming from? I mean, who's making this stuff and transporting this stuff? Where, I mean, there's no new materials coming in, right? You just have to scavenge for whatever you can find, right?
Yeah, they're scavenging. And I think, you know, they haven't had to use a ton of ammo up to this point, you know, in the season. So I feel like... But every time they fire a gun, I'm like, they don't have a lot of those.
Yeah.
Take it easy. Exactly. you're still gonna have to shoot things. but Rick was. I loved. I didn't see that coming.
I didn't either.
And Glenn Mazars, because that actor, Michael Raymond James, is awesome.
Which one was great. He? Was he guy behind the bar or guy with too much fat on him?
He was the guy behind the bar.
Yeah.
The one that was like, hey, can't we just all. And so they purposely chose him because he's a fairly recognizable actor, and you think, oh, they're going to add this guy to the cast.
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly, they did not add him.
They subtracted him from the cast. I think it would be a better way to
they subtracted him.
Say it.
But after what Rick had to do with Sophia, who was like a child within the group, like two books from Philadelphia don't have a chance.
You're right.
That's true.
You know, the guy almost could have been like, hey, you're going to finish those chips? Blam! Like, Rick would have, like,
hey, Chris, so, is there something – we're running out of time, unfortunately, but is there something about this show that you think most of us are missing? I don't feel like I have a good grip on everything that's going on.
That's a great question because there were – you know, for instance, Lost comes to mind. There were a lot of people who are watching it for the week to week, and they miss the kind of big overarching story. That's a great question. Is there something we're not seeing that has not presented itself maybe yet that you know about?
No, I mean, you know, just the idea that so far we don't know what's going on. We don't know, you know, like if it's a virus or if what happened. And so we're missing the same things the survivors are missing.
Okay. I mean,
like there's still a lot they're trying to piece together. So we're sort of just taking that journey with them and freaking out about it.
That's what makes it so great.
Is there no electricity, by the way, Chris?
I don't think it seems like there's not
here.
A lot of electricity. Yeah.
No, I meant on the show. We're talking about The Walking Dead, Kevin.
Oh, sorry.
It feels like there's some and then not in other places.
And no radio. So if the zombie invasion comes, we're out of work, basically, right?
Yeah, there's no zombie Kevin and Bean show.
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
It really would be.
Maybe they'd be funny.
I can't wait to, like I said, I DVR'd The Talking Dead last night with the Grammys and The Walking Dead and everything. I just didn't have time to watch it all, but I'm looking forward to catching up with the day, and you should too. Does that air again throughout the week, Chris? Can people still see that if they haven't watched it yet?
You'd think I'd know that.
I do. I don't know. I would think. Search for Talking Dead. You'll find it.
I mean, it airs, it'll probably air a couple times, but it's super fun. And Glenn Mazar, awesome. He's doing an amazing job, and Navarro was a super sweet, fun guest as well.
Fantastic. Chris Hardwick is the Nerdist at thenerdist.com. Follow him on Twitter, at Nerdist, and please pick up his book, as I did, Chris, The Nerdist Way, How to Reach the Next Level in Real Life. You'll enjoy it very much. Go back to sleep, my friend. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys.
ROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 27 minutes after. After six.
I wouldn't be surprised to see that song among the nominees for Record or Song of the Year at next year's Grammys. Last night were this year's Grammys. 3.5 hours long, by the way, is a lot of show. But I will say this, and I know that, Kevin, I know you hated it like you do. The Grammys can't be for everyone just because they represent so many different styles of music. Like I was really bored with Chris Brown. I thought he was super
terrible.
Super boring. He doesn't sing well. He didn't do anything interesting or new. To me, he was boring. But there are other people, you know, who watch the Chris Brown thing and love it, and then the next thing comes on and they hate it. I mean, that's the problem with doing a big tent show like the Grammys.
But do you need 15 minutes of Glenn Campbell? Do you need 15 minutes of the Beach
it
Boys?
It wasn't 15 minutes. Neither one of them were 15 minutes. I'm sure they seem like it to you. And I was thinking about this last night. The thing about the Grammys is they also like to make a nod to history. And, you know, somebody like the Beach Boys... 50 years they've been around.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think it's nice for an organization that cares about music and that promotes music to say, hey, there is more going on in the world than just something that's been out in the last 6 months.
I'd like it to be a nod, Bean. I would like that. Just a nod. Hey, congratulations. 50 years. What's that like? Great. Let's move on.
Did you hate the part where Maroon 5 sang a Beach Boys song and then Foster the People sang a Beach Boys song too? Yep. So it wasn't just the fact that the Beach Boys are old. It's the even the young people doing Beach Boys songs you had no time for.
I don't...
You don't really like Beach Boys songs,
It's not that I hate them. I just... They're so irrelevant.
Yeah.
Now.
Right. Well, last night, as we mentioned, it was all about Adele, who was just phenomenal. We'll play her speech in a minute. But I got to give it up for Dave Grohl, if we have time for just one thing to do here. Because Dave Grohl is, first of all, the coolest person in the world. Second of all, the nicest guy you ever want to meet. We've all been lucky enough to meet him, you know, dozens of times throughout the years here at Kara. You won't meet a more down-to-earth, genuinely good guy than Dave Grohl.
You see a guy like that, you go, I'd love to have a beer with him. You'll be disappointed by 98%. You would not be disappointed by Dave Grohl.
No, he's the best. Yeah. And he's just, I mean, he's a family man, and he loves his friends, and he's just, he always does the right thing, and he's honorable, and he's reputable, and he's unbelievably talented, and the Grammys know it because he was, I think he performed 3 different times on the show last night.
Yep.
I think early on in the show, they, you know, the band came out and did a song, and then later on they had him doing that thing in the tent with Deadmau5, and then at the end of the show he came back on with Paul McCartney and with Bruce Springsteen and with Joe Walsh and everything for that all-star finale. So they had a lot of Dave Grohl. He won 5 Grammys with his band Foo Fighters, and he gave, I thought, one of the best speeches of the night when he picked up the award for best rock song for Walk.
To me, this award means a lot because it shows that the human element of making music is what's most important. Singing into a microphone and learning to play an instrument and learning to do your craft, that's the most important thing for people to do.
It's so funny, by the way, to hear all those people applauding in the audience when lots of them probably have jobs that have to do with people who work in auto-tune or people who are DJs that don't have anything to do with anything Dave's talking
about.
That's
why they're clapping. Hey, don't make us use auto-tune so much. Come on.
Right.
It's not about being perfect. It's not about sounding absolutely correct. It's not about what goes on in a computer. It's about what goes on in here, and it's about what goes on in here.
He was pointing to his head and then his balls. Right. Back to back. Right. I brought in this tape just for you because of who's involved in bringing on Katy Perry. I think you're going to enjoy this if you missed this part.
I'm here with the woman who was in every movie I saw this year and in Total Recall, which I will see soon, Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah. How about Kate Beckinsale on the show last night?
Yep.
And listen up because she's going to say the word boobs.
We're so excited to introduce this next artist. Not only does she have an incredible talent, an amazing work ethic, and her own unique style, she can also shoot fireworks out of her boobs. And thus, she's a goddess, ladies. We've all tried it.
For sure.
I don't even care about Katy Perry. I just wanted to hear her talk about boobs. That's the other reason I brought
that
in.
Have you tried to shoot electricity out of your boobs, Lisa?
I have tried. And I couldn't do it.
That's too bad.
Bon Iver was nominated for a bunch of major awards last night. He's a singer-songwriter from Wisconsin, and he was a big surprise to a lot of people that he got so much love from the Grammys because he's an indie artist, and he's you know, he sold some records, but he's not the type of thing that has risen to the level that the casual fan. In fact, there was a lot of "Who the F is Bon Iver" right on Facebook last night. The casual fan is not hearing his records on the radio, okay? And it was a little bit controversial because of he has been blasting the Grammys right up until he got nominated for five of them, including Song of the Year and Record of the Year. He's been blasting the Grammys as being irrelevant and as being stupid and on and on and on. I wondered if he did decline the opportunity to perform last night, for instance. I wondered if he would even show up to the thing. And not only did he show up, but he gave a speech when he won for Best New Artist. And by the way, Best New Artist, you know, they relaxed the rules a few years ago. Now they have it so that if you made your biggest impact on the public after a certain record, you're eligible for Best New Artist. It doesn't have to be your first record anymore.
So you could be 15 years in and then you make your impact and then you're Best Artist?
A few years ago.
Because you're new to all of us.
Lucinda Williams was nominated for Best New Artist on her sixth album.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's kind of crazy how – I mean, Bon Iver is a perfect example of a guy who released his first record in 2007. It sold pretty well. Then they re-released it in 2008, and it became a pretty good-sized hit. Was on almost every critic's top 10 list for 2008. And then it was his second record in 2010 that he got nominated for Best New Artist.
Wow.
So it's kind of weird that they allow that. But his speech was – well, I don't know what it was.
Hi. It's really hard to accept this award, well, there's so much talent out here, like, on this stage, and there's a lot of talent that's not here.
I'm thinking at this point, where's he going with this? Because he's kind of awkward and kind of geeky, and I thought there's no way he's coming out, he's going to recover from this.
No, he's going to tell
tonight, me. And it's also hard to accept because... You know, when I started to make songs, I did it for the inherent reward of making songs. But so I'm a little bit uncomfortable up here.
Doesn't show.
But with that discomfort, I do have a sense of gratitude, and I want to say thank you to all the nominees, all the non-nominees that have never been here.
What?
And never will be here.
Okay, I think that's about all the time we have for Bon Iver. Where was he? What was he talking about?
He's thanking everybody that's never going to be nominated.
Yes. Yes, he is. That's who he chose to thank with his 2 minutes on stage. Yes.
Wow.
I don't know. And speaking of weirdo speeches, look, I love Adele as much as the next guy, but you will rarely hear an album of the year speech like this one. Here's Diana Ross giving her the big prize of the night.
And the Grammy goes to 21 Adele.
Made her way to the stage. Let's see what she's got for us.
Oh, oh, thank you.
Oh. Sounds like the queen.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Oh. Is this a speech or a snuff film? What's happening here?
Sounds like a Special Olympics ceremony.
Hello. I just first of all want to say, Mom, girl did good.
Yeah, there you go. So she went on to thank everybody in the whole wide world. And as we were talking about earlier, man, the crowd was so into her. I mean, she got standing ovations. You're right, Kevin. Every time she got up out of her seat, she got a standing ovation. And how about that performance of hers, her first live show since she had that throat surgery a few months ago? You know, she thought at one point she may never sing again.
Yeah.
And she came out. Did she sound better than she's ever sounded?
I think so. I thought she sounded great.
Anyway, like I said, 3.5 hours is the show. We only had time for a few clips there, but we'll have more.
That's
for you
all
later
the good
on.
Clips there were, though. So we covered it.
No, we're gonna replay all 15 minutes of the tribute to Glenn Campbell coming up later on. Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Showbiz Beat coming up right now, though. We got to talk about Linsanity, which apparently is the catch-all phrase for all things Jeremy Lin, this player for the New York Knicks who has just exploded out of nowhere. Doesn't it seem like overnight this kid's a superstar, Kevin, after like a week?
I've never heard of him, and now he's everywhere.
And now he's everywhere, and you can't avoid him. We're trying to figure out what the heck is going on and what an unbelievable backstory he has and what's likely to happen next. So we asked our friend Matt Money Smith from the Petros & Money Radio Show to join us this morning. Hey, Money, how are you, man?
Oh, I am inspired. That's how I am.
You're inspired.
I bet you are. Yeah.
Tell people who haven't been following this story, just catch them up.
Okay, so Jeremy Lin is a high school player. He's a high school player at Palo Alto, which is right in the shadow of Stanford. I mean, across the street from Stanford University. And his high school team is crushing it, 32-1, and they face off in the Division II state finals against almighty Southern California powerhouse Modern Day.
Okay.
And Jeremy Lin puts it on them. And their team wins, and everyone's like, wow, who's this 6'3" Asian kid that's crushing everyone? And he's named the player of the year, and he gets no scholarship offers.
None.
He wants to go to Stanford. He wants to go to UCLA. They both offer him walk-on. You say, hey, look, you know, we'll make sure you can walk on, but neither offers him a scholarship, and both Brown and Harvard guarantee him, because Ivy Leagues don't extend scholarships for athletics, but they say you're guaranteed a spot on our team. So he figures, all things being equal, and I'm paying for my education, why wouldn't I go to Harvard?
Okay.
So he decides to go to Harvard, and while there, struggles his first year, second year starts to show signs, and by his junior season, he is putting up big numbers when they take on, you know, their rare breaks from conference play. Not Penn and Cornell, but Boston College and UConn. He hung 30 on UConn. And that's when people started to recognize, okay, this guy's a lot better.
Let me interrupt you for 1 second there, Matt, because, yeah. Look, I'm a casual college basketball fan. I don't know the last time I even heard reference to the fact that Harvard had a team. I mean, does anybody come out of Harvard? Because if you're good, you go to a school that has a team that people see, right?
I'd say you get maybe about 2 to 3 dozen players over the last 50 years from the Ivy League, period.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I guess Chris Dudley from Yale comes to mind. That's kind of your last. That might be a name that people recognize.
No, but Bean's right. That's not where you go if you want to move on.
It's not a basketball school.
All
right. So he's a junior in Harvard, and he's doing great. Then what?
Exactly. He graduates, gets a 3-1 in econ, has his degree, but he wants to play in the NBA, and is not drafted. Does not get drafted despite, you know, coaches like Jim Calhoun from UConn, you know, championship-winning coaches saying this kid can play. He's
right.
Really, really good. So the Mavericks, with one of the best front offices in the NBA, Donnie Nelson, Don Nelson's son, offer him a spot on their summer league. Summer league is a chance for guys that don't get drafted or have been trying to get in the league for the past few years to play in front of scouts and executives and see if they can catch on with a team as like the 15th man. He takes it to number one overall pick John Wall when they go head-to-head against the Wizards. Comes out, they win, everyone starts asking, okay, who is this kid? And the Mavericks offer him a deal, the Lakers offer him a deal, but Golden State offers him a deal, and that's where he grew up. And it's interesting because the owner of the Warriors, this guy Joe Lacob, is a Stanford alumnus. And he is lighting up his alma mater about not giving this kid a scholarship.
Wow.
You guys blew it. So he signs Jeremy to his team. And it seems like, okay, all is right in the world. He gets to play for his hometown team. But he doesn't perform that well. He only has spot duty and doesn't do a whole lot with it. And this summer, in order to sign a free agent, they had to renounce the rights to a couple players to make room because you have a cap where you can't go above it. So Jeremy Lin happens to be one of those guys they release, so they can try to sign Clippers center DeAndre Jordan.
Right.
So he gets let go, picked up immediately by the Houston Rockets, another very respected front office. They have to let him go because they need to sign a big guy, this guy Sam Ballinger. So as soon as he's let go, the Knicks sign him, right? Well, okay, so way to go, Knicks. You spotted this talent. The Knicks have been searching for a point guard. I am not kidding you. For 20 freaking years.
Yeah.
This guy is not only on their, he's not only not on their bench, they sent him to the D League. He's playing for the Erie Bayhawks in Erie, Pennsylvania.
God. Wow.
And it takes injuries to 3 point guards. The fact that Baron Davis' back disappeared three years ago, so he can't play.
Right.
They've amnestied Chauncey Billups because they needed to sign a big man. And they had their 2 starting point guards. Tony Douglas didn't perform, and Amon Shumpert got hurt. They had to go through 5 guys before they finally say, what's this kid doing that we picked up?
Isn't it funny, though, that a kid will come through the system like this and impress every single person along the way?
Yeah.
And
yet he can't stick.
And yet no one will make that decision and go, all right, well, he was pretty good here. Let's give him a shot.
So what's different now that he's been starting for what, like 6 days or something now for the Knicks?
The team has won 6 games in a row with him. Started 5, and here's the interesting part. If he starts these games, and Carmelo Anthony and Amare Stoudemire, they're 2 All-Stars, potential future Hall of Famers, are playing, we don't know anything about Jeremy Lin, because all he's doing is handing them the ball and getting out of the way.
Right.
But because, you know, sadly, Amare, his older brother, was killed in a car accident, so he's been gone. Carmelo Anthony has been hurt for 2 weeks, so there's no offense. I mean, these guys just have to scrap. You've got starting lineups with dudes that probably shouldn't even be in the league. So he's got to perform at this level.
Tell people how he's scoring and what he's doing?
Well, he's doing it every way. I mean, he's hitting threes. He's attacking the basket. If you watch him play, and I'm not saying it because both of them are non-African Americans, but it's very reminiscent of Steve Nash. They play almost at like, gosh, I'm trying to think of how not to be too technical. Almost at like, imagine a 55-degree angle or like a 45-degree angle,
right?
He doesn't stand upright. He's low. So he's, even though he's not fast, he's very quick. He can work his way around defenders a lot like guys that are just explosively fast because of the angles. It's very much like a Loudon Swain Vision Quest deal. He's using physics and geometry and crap.
We're running out of time, but is it true that his jersey is now the best-selling jersey in the NBA?
Yeah, they can't keep it in stock. I mean, they are producing
across the country.
Remember, Yao Ming was, I mean, when you get a minority that can galvanize
a minority,
they become your fan. You're not just Knicks fans now. Basically every Asian American is in.
He's a son of Taiwanese immigrants to California. And we should also mention, by the way, quite a coming out party on a Friday night game at Madison Square Garden, Knicks versus Lakers. He scores 38 points. I mean, that's what really took a lot of people by surprise. And a lot of people perked up and said, who is this kid? But isn't there also a little bit of Tebow mania going on here? Isn't he another devout Christian who's kind of public about it, too?
Very religious. His pre-game routine and the starting lineup announcements, you know, he has mentioned, you know, the idea is that Landry Fields, who's a kid from right here in Los Alamitos, actually, went to Stanford, holds a book and he flips through it and he says that's his signal that, you know, he's telling his God that he's reading the Bible and he's carrying that with him when he goes out there to play. And, he's very
open. Does he put it in his shorts during the game? Or?
No.
Now, I understand why he hasn't bought a place yet because, you know, as you mentioned, he's been in three teams in the last few months or something here. But he's sleeping on like a cousin's couch or something out in the Bronx or something, right?
Yeah, he is sleeping on, I believe it's his older brother's couch.
Good times.
Out in Queens. And look, he's fine. The guy's got money. He was signed. You know, the one thing is he's now set. This is what's so crazy about this story, too, right? The Knicks had to decide whether or not they were going to keep him and guarantee his contract or if they were going to let him go because he was on this, you know, there's a certain point in the season when all contracts become guaranteed.
Right.
If you're on a roster. And had things broke one way or another, there were a couple other players they were looking at that they probably would have brought in. And he would have been released again.
Wow.
And this may have never happened.
Well, it's very exciting when something like this comes out of nowhere for most of us casual fans. And, you know, I'm sure that the ratings are already up on Knicks games and the ticket sales and the merchandise and everything. It's going to be really exciting to see if he's able to keep going. You know, we don't know what kind of legs this kid has, but, I mean, he's young, right? He's 23 or something?
Very young. Graduated in, I believe, 2009, I think. So he's been in the league for about 2.5 years.
How about that?
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. We really enjoyed it. Petros and Money Show, of course, a nationally syndicated show. You can hear it weekday afternoons on AM 570 right here in Los Angeles. Have a great one. Say hi to P for us.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
It's in Sleep's President's Sale with the lowest prices of the year. Save up to 50% off all the best brands and get free financing with your good credit. Sit and Sleep will beat anyone's advertised price, so your mattress is free. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
That was a pretty good delivery, by the way.
Yeah, good read. Good read, Lisa.
Well done. World famous K-Rock at 6:55.
Just in time for Valentine's Day, we're going to talk to somebody from the Cheaters Spy Shop. Is that what it's called? I don't have it in front of me. The Cheaters Spy Shop, I think it is. And they're going to tell you how you can uncover the affairs that your boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife are undoubtedly having. So romantic, isn't it?
I think
lovely.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, Ralph is out this week. Next hour, I believe Chip is going to be doing the Showbiz Beat. In the meantime, we are filling in for him here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin, you have to let me start with this story because I'm telling you, it is gaining speed. Remember last Monday, kids, we talked to Julian Garcia, a writer for the New York Daily News, about a column that he had written the day before on Super Bowl Sunday talking about how Weird Al needs to be the Super Bowl halftime show for 2013. Time for a true American icon to get the super invite is what he said. So we called up Mr. Garcia and we had him on the show and he wrote a new column this past weekend that starts like this. Last Sunday's column on Weird Al started as a joke before turning into something so much more, much like Weird Al himself. In fact, after writing a rather tongue-in-cheek plea for Weird Al to be invited to perform at next year's Super Bowl, we are now somewhat hopeful that such a far-fetched dream could actually become a reality and just a little bit frightened. Apparently, if you do a Google search for the term Weird Al Super Bowl petition, he says later in the article, you get more than 68,000 results.
That's what I'm talking about.
There are numerous Facebook pages. There is a Twitter account promoting same. There are petitions that you can sign. He goes on to quote, by the way, as a result of being on our show last week, he goes on to quote us in the article. We talked to Kevin and Bean. The station's hosts are big fans of Weird Al. They're even friendly with him. So when they saw my article last Sunday, they called for a chat. Let us repeat. They know Weird Al. Maybe they'll talk to him, is what Garcia says.
Yes.
And I believe later on, Beer Mug has an interview that he taped on Friday with Weird Al. Muggs, did you in fact talk to Al about the Super Bowl halftime show?
I did.
Oh, I can't wait.
But Bean, you know that's not going to help, right?
Beer Mug talking to
yeah.
him? Well, I mean, I feel like we need to keep it out there.
I agree.
I know Al is too modest to do much of the, much of the grandstanding, much of the promotion himself, but we need to keep this idea afloat and make sure that it keeps gaining traction.
Remember this?
A used pink bathrobe, a rare
in front of all those people.
Mint snow globe, a smurf. TV tray I bought on eBay.
Come on.
Anyway, we'll have more on this later, but I wanted to bring up the New York Daily News article back again, and I'm so happy that they rewrote it and all the petitions, everything like that. Patton Oswalt is on board now. He was tweeting about it all weekend long. There's a hashtag on Twitter, which is hashtag Super Al with people, and apparently it is really gaining steam. By the way, they have talked, this Daily News reporter says they have talked to the NFL. A spokesperson said the league does not discuss or speculate on future acts and made it clear that signatures on a petition will not influence the league's decision. Because
all right.
God forbid the NFL would want to listen to the fans about what they want, right?
Yeah, way to handle that. All of you that want that, just forget about it.
Yep.
Whitney Houston, of course, you've heard over the weekend, passed away. TMZ's been covering it the entire time. Apparently, she was at a couple of pre-Grammy parties in town. Thursday night, she went to a party. Friday night, she went to a party. And then apparently Saturday night, she was found drowned in her own bathtub at her hotel.
While she was getting ready to show up and possibly perform at the Clive Davis party, Clive, her mentor, the guy that signed her and guided her through her greatest successes. Now, have you seen any of that video from her appearance Thursday night?
No, I have not. I've heard it is really troubling, though.
It's, you know, she jumped up on stage with a gospel singer and sang about a minute's worth, and she didn't look or sound that good. But people say she, you know, people say she seemed a little disoriented, but not whacked out.
Right.
Friday was a little bit more troubling to me. She showed up at an interview that Brandy and Monica were doing and was just all over the place, was dancing like they were interviewing, you know, they were being interviewed and then they were performing and everything like that. She was kind of dancing just off camera and she just looked like she was lost. And I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll get some toxicology results now that the autopsy has been done. I mean, you know, they've said that they found Xanax and things like that in her room. I don't know what else she was taking, but it appeared like more than that. She definitely wasn't in good shape.
Toxicologists have the easiest job in the world because they get like 6 months for results.
Yes, I don't know what that's about.
No one pushes them ever. Hey, how about speeding that up a bit?
And it is sad because, you know, on the one hand, you can go, well, she was a drug addict and this is what happens. On the other hand, you can go, she was only 48 years old.
Yeah.
She probably could have turned around and led a lot of happy years. But all of these people who are talking about how much she meant to them that I saw interviewed over the last few days, I wonder how many of them, you know, picked up the phone and said, hey, what's going on with you? Hey, do you need help? Hey, you know, it just seems like, I don't know. I mean, there are more questions than answers at this point. We don't even know what killed her yet. I mean, we could find out it was a brain aneurysm. It had nothing to do with drugs. We don't know yet. But it is a very, very sad situation, that's for sure. Movies this weekend was big at the box office. The Vow debuted with $41.7 million. That is, who's in that? That's Channing Tatum and who, Lisa?
Rachel McAdams.
She hits her head. She forgets who he is, and he has to win her back all over again.
Very romantic.
This is While You Were Sleeping is what it is, right? It's the same movie.
Just
in time for Valentine's Day, though. Very smart releasing that this past weekend. $41.7 million, just ahead of Safe House, the new one with Denzel Washington and Ryan Reynolds. That came in at number two with $39.3 million. Journey 2, The Mysterious Island with The Rock, debuted at number three. Then Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace in 3D. Now, you had squawked a little bit on Friday about maybe wanting to go see that. Did you make it out to that?
I did sort of want to go see that, but I ran out of time. But
you know that Jar Jar Binks is still in it, right? You know it's only in 3D. They haven't recut the movie, right?
I know. I think it'll look cool.
Here's what our friend Mr. Movie Phone had to say about Kevin's potential plans.
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
Number five was Chronicle at $12.3 million. Then The Women in Black. That's the new Daniel Radcliffe movie at number six. The Gray with Liam Neeson at seven. Big Miracle, number eight. Then The Descendants. And rounding out your top ten, Underworld Awakening.
Celebrity birthdays for today. We have talk show host Jerry Springer. J. Jerry is 68 years old. Singer Peter Gabriel is 62 years old. Peter Hook from New Order and Joy Division is 56. Singer Henry Rollins is 51. That's one scary dude and one nice dude all at the same time.
He's very intense.
Somebody from CNC Music Factory is 46. I don't know. Kelly Hu is 44. Singer Feist, who, if I recall correctly, we had at one of our weenie roasts in the early days. And
we did.
Feist.
She is still making records, still very popular. She's doing great. Canadian songwriter. I think her first name is really Leslie, by the way.
And
I think Feist is her last name. Her first name is Leslie. So now you know.
Thanks for that info. And actress Mina Savari.
Mm-hmm. From American Pie.
Thank you. It's 33 years old, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday here on the world-famous K-Rock. We'll talk to the music critic for the Los Angeles Times, Randall Roberts, in about a half an hour, get his impressions of the Grammys last night. You can debate Glenn Campbell with him if you want. Yeah. Also, Beer Mug was down at the Grammy roundtables doing interviews, and do I have this right? Beer Mug and Lou Ferrigno in a conversation together. Are we going to be hearing that coming up in a few minutes?
Yeah, and you can understand Lou Ferrigno better.
That is a battle of the titans. We've talked from time to time about the Cheaters television show, which has been on the air for about 10 years or so. There are a lot of scummy shows on TV. I don't feel scummier than when I'm watching Cheaters. I mean, that is really just the worst, maybe the worst best show on television, I think, right?
Well, it's certainly the way you want to bring on a guest. I know that.
I don't know what the relationship is between the Cheaters TV show and the Cheaters Spy Shop, but I am down with Alan Walton. I like what he's doing. I don't care for the show so much, but I'm with Alan. And he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Mr. Walton, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good, thanks.
What is the connection between the Cheaters TV show and the Cheaters Spy Shop, if any?
Well, the creator of the TV show actually also came up with the idea for the Spy Shop as well. So we're all in the same offices and everything like that.
Sweet.
Oh, okay, great. So basically what happens is people watch Cheaters and they go, hey, I think somebody in my life is cheating, but I don't know how to catch them. And that's where you come in. And that's what you do is you have technology that enables people to find out what's going on.
Exactly.
What's your biggest seller? What do you move the most?
Right now, to be totally honest, the cell phone spy software has been really popular for us.
Cell phone what?
In addition to hidden cameras and stuff.
Cell phone what? I'm sorry.
The cell phone spy software.
Oh, spy software. I see.
Tell us about that. How's that work?
Okay, we have two different kinds. Deleted text messages. I mean, everyone wants to find out what's been deleted on the phone. So for iPhones and Androids, we have this stick. It's called an iRecovery stick, and it's actually got a program on this little thumb drive. So you plug it into your computer. You plug your phone into the computer as well. It pulls everything off the phone, and it can also attempt to recover deleted stuff, like deleted web history, text messages, things like that.
A lot of people don't know when you delete, a text or a picture or something like that, it doesn't erase it from your phone. It just erases the little marker so that it doesn't know where it is, but it's still there.
I did not know that.
Yeah, then they can go in and do it unless you, like, double erase it and make sure that it's all gone, yeah.
How do you, I'm asking for a friend, Alan, how do you really, really, really erase something?
Really, really erase something? I mean,
you have to write over it, right?
That's a
really
phone?
Great question. I would probably just say you got to do a full restore. Just wipe everything off of it, plug it in to iTunes or whatever, and then just do a full restore so that it wipes everything off.
Start from scratch, yeah.
Do you get much follow-up from your clients, people who come in, say they buy this recovery stick for the iPhone, for instance? Do you then hear back from them later at all about how it went for them?
No. We really don't. Sometimes we get a couple people that we might specifically ask them to give us feedback afterwards just so we have a couple of, successful stories on hand. So we hear, if they call back, we hear a lot of juicy stuff. But generally, no. Everyone just orders something and then they just never get back with us.
Well, romance is in the air today because tomorrow's Valentine's Day. Is your business up or down or the same?
It's pretty insane right now. I don't really have numbers on hand, but I've been looking at all the orders pouring in over the weekend. And
so your business spikes on Valentine's Day.
Listen, if you've got a wife and a girlfriend, they both expect something on Valentine's Day.
Right.
So, and you know that whether you're the wife or the girlfriend. So if you're suspecting, this would be the day.
I don't like your attitude on this, Lisa. Let's not be so hard on the wife and the girlfriend. That works for people. Come on. Let's talk about some of the other... kind of surveillance equipment that you have. And by the way, this might be an outstanding time to ask Mr. Walton, who's joining us from the Cheater Spy Shop here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about the legality of recording, say, either video or audio? That is different from state to state, but what's the law here in California in terms of what you're allowed to do?
Oh, gosh. In California, I'm not entirely sure.
Not that you care, but I'm just saying. Let's put it out there.
Well, I think
California, if I'm not mistaken, is a two-party state, or maybe an all-party state, where if you're recording a conversation, everyone's going to have to be in the know on it. You can't record a conversation you're having with somebody unless you specifically tell them that you are.
And I guess the only way that would ever come up is if you were trying to use this as evidence to go to court for a crime being committed. If it's right. just to catch your husband or wife or something, or boyfriend, girlfriend or something like that, it doesn't really matter whether it's legal or not. The point is you've got them, right? What kinds Absolutely. Of spy cameras do you have? What are people using? What kind of equipment are people putting those in now?
You can put a camera in pretty much anything these days. And right now, one of the best sellers, I don't know if you guys have been to the website, but we have a little wall charger. Like you use to charge electronics, like a cell phone,
yes.
or power, like a stereo system.
Yeah.
We have a little wall charger with a camera in it, and you would have no idea.
It's That's smart. Nuts. There's usually a little light there anyway.
Yeah.
For right. charging something.
Yeah, and they come in pretty much anything these days. So you can get them in like a clock radio, a wall clock, a picture frame, that wall adapter that I mentioned. We have smoke detectors and motion detectors with cameras in them.
Tell me about the hidden safes.
Hidden safe.
Yeah.
Stash cans, I guess.
Basically, stash cans.
Hollowed out. Yeah, they're just hollowed out, you know, everyday household items, and you can store money, jewelry, other stuff.
The way they describe it is if you come across a pair of dirty panties, say,
mm-hmm.
this is a place you can, like, stash it so that they don't get found.
Where oh you keep the good stuff is
right.
what it is.
Right.
What about this, Alan? What about, and you can make money on both sides of this deal, what about selling equipment so that people can sweep their own home to let them know whether there is some sort of recording equipment in it? Do you sell something like that?
Yeah, exactly. We have bug detectors, which can be used to detect radio frequencies. Like, so if there's a wireless camera or you think there might be a wireless audio bug, then it'll pick that up. And then we also have this little cool thing called the Spy Finder. And it's a little handheld device. You look through it, flashes a blinking light, and if it detects any hidden cameras, then you'll pretty much see exactly where it is.
No kidding.
Nice. See, that's good. That's good to know. It's good to know you're taking care of both sides of the equation.
Yeah.
Here.
So the dude,
what kind of relationship is this?
The dude comes in,
sweeping.
The dude comes in and buys all his stuff. Then you call the wife and you go, "Hey, he just picked up some stuff. You need to do a bug sweep."
All right, Alan. Before we go, CheatersSpyShop.com is the website. Is there a physical location too, or is it all just online?
Everything's online right now, but we're definitely looking at opening up multiple locations across the country right now. Starting
All
with
right,
Dallas.
Starting with Dallas. Yeah. Fantastic. Alan Walton is the president of Cheaters Spy Shop. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Cheaters Spy Shop, and the website is thesame.com. Hey, happy Valentine's Day to you and yours, Alan. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Talk some more about the Grammys coming up with the LA Times music critic Randall Roberts here in a couple of minutes. Grammys were in town this weekend, of course. Beer Mug was down there on Thursday and Friday at Staples Center getting interviews with people that they trot out for the press. Not the people you want to talk to. Believe me, they don't bring out Bruce Springsteen and Taylor Swift. They don't bring those people out.
Or Katy Perry.
Or Katy Perry, which is, I'm sure, why you went down there.
Yeah.
But who are we going to hear this time around with Beer Mug?
But you wouldn't trust Beer Mug with Katy Perry, would you? I mean,
no.
You're not going to set her down at his table anyway.
No.
I want Beer Mug to interview everybody. After what I after the great job I heard him do with Kool and the Gang last week, I don't care who he talks to.
He sits down with Cat Graham.
Oh.
From Vampire.
Oh, from Vampire Diaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And refuses to say what show she's on. I don't think he even remembers what show she's on.
Yeah.
And this is how that began.
Now, you are one of the stars.
I am. Also a recording artist, so.
Very nice.
Makes sense why I'm here.
Yes. The Grammys. Music related.
Nicely done. You are one of the stars. And then we were listening, we were like, when does he say Vampire Diaries?
Is this like when you meet somebody at a party and you're not quite sure who they are, so you're trying to have a conversation to make it seem like you know who they are? You know what I mean?
Well, it's weird because I did a little bit of research before I interviewed her, and I saw the show, but I think I forgot, so I kind of just tried to play it off. I was like, you're one of the stars.
I forgot,
and then I just kept going.
What do you think Beer Mug does when he's never seen the show? What's his fallback position?
Well, I mean,
telling them what other shows he watches?
Oh, please say no.
How about that?
So, I've never seen the show,
right.
So forgive me.
It's okay.
I watch Boardwalk Empire.
No. That's really good.
One of my favorites, Dexter.
No.
Dexter's good.
Why do you do that?
Let's see if she watches those shows too.
But the point is that you're saying to her, your show I don't watch.
I'm being honest, man.
Let's talk about other shows.
Look, I don't even mind I don't watch that show. Tell me about it.
Right.
But I don't watch that show, but I do watch Boardwalk Empire, and Dexter doesn't get you anywhere.
I know, but. Yeah.
But there's no but.
I wanted to see if she watched those shows as well.
Why?
Trying to get on a one-on-one level with her,
so that then you can have a conversation about Boardwalk Empire, which is even on the air.
Yep.
Then you can have something to talk about. That's why.
Okay.
And then she's talking about making her own beats, you know, with her music and Beer Mugs. As you found out on Friday, has to tell every single person the same thing.
I try to produce beats, but I'm not very good at it. I play the drums.
Yeah.
Oh no, you did not again.
He said that 15 times. I play the drums.
And what reaction do you expect from her in this case, Mugs? When you say that,
I want her to say, "No way, you're a drummer."
Yeah.
And are you trying to get chicks? Is that why you're throwing it out there, to make people think you're a musician somehow?
Yeah, man. Chicks dig the drummers, Bean.
Yeah. Thank you, Dotel.
If they can't get with the singer or the guitarist or the bassist, maybe.
Who was the best new artist from last year?
Esperanza Spalding.
Bean, listen to this question. This might be one of Mug's best questions ever.
You received the Best New Artist Award last year, correct?
Correct.
And how has that been from here on out? How has that affected your life?
How has that been from here on out? So what Mugs is asking specifically is, starting with this moment through the future, how has that changed your life?
Did that confuse her?
Not at all the past.
Because you can confuse me, I know that.
None of the past. How has that affected your life in the future? That's so unbelievable. And then Mugs talks about Mugs.
And personally, I don't want to take up the interview, but I am kind of into all types of music.
Of course.
Everything from hardcore.
Now, here we go again. Mugs talks about Mugs, and yes. He talks about his dad and jazz and all of his music.
Like metal to punk to jazz. My dad grew up to show me all these jazz artists,
right.
A lot of swing, just everything. So I think that's cool. I just wish that sometimes I get stuck. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was no question at the end of that, by the way. That was just
Is he still talking to Esperanza Spalding?
I think he's crying on her shoulder now. You know, sometimes I just get stuck. And I need
what do you want? What are you asking her to do, Mugs? Help me understand
this.
There's
no question.
I just want the interview to go as natural and as free-flowing as
possible. But you're talking about you only.
Really?
Yes. Me, my dad, my musical taste, I get stuck. What should I do? What about her?
It's not about her. It's not about her.
It is only about her.
Mugs, God forbid, I can't believe I'm about to give you a legitimate tip. But, you are onto something, but you're making a bad choice here. If you think it's interesting that somebody is into all kinds of music, why not turn it around and go, hey, you're known for this kind of jazzy pop kind of music. What else are you into? Why not let her talk about the various kinds of music that she's into? Use your knowledge that exists and get something out of the guest.
So you're saying talk about her, less about me.
Maybe.
More about her, less
about me. I'm
just
throwing it out there.
Okay.
All right. Lou Ferrigno.
Yes, the Incredible Hulk.
Incredible Hulk. He sounds funny when he talks because he's deaf and has been his entire life. Mm-hmm. And another great question for Mugs.
How has life been for you up to today?
Life has been great. Last week I just did the voice from The Incredible Hulk.
How's life been for you up till today?
That, again, is an all-purpose five-star question you can ask
to anybody.
Since you
were born to now, how has your life been?
Depending on how old they are, he's covering a lot of ground. How's your life been up till today?
He has to be at least 50-something, right?
Yeah, he's led a very fulfilling life. I just wanted to see, what's going on?
But you know, we're laughing.
Has he agreed with you?
We're laughing at the open ended nature of the question.
It's a broad question.
Yeah, I mean, it's a question like, "Hey, how's it going?" I mean, there's no "How's it going to today?" And then he has to mention.
And also, I'm looking forward to see the upcoming Celebrity Apprentice.
Yeah, because I hear you're on that.
Whoa! Something that was he actually heard that happened. I don't know who this is.
Let me ask you before you leave, because I only got a little bit limited amount of time with you. Thank you, man.
All
you're
right,
awesome.
You.
Keep rocking.
What? What happened?
I don't know. Somebody just walked
did
away.
Did they take him away?
That happens a lot.
Mugs, they should have. They did the right thing.
It happens a lot because there are other stations that want these people to come over there. All right, I have Weird Al. Do you want to hear that, Bean?
Oh, we don't have time for Weird Al right now. We have to play it later. I can't wait, though. I can't wait.
He talks about the Super Bowl halftime show, the whole thing.
Wow.
I asked the hard-hitting stuff. Yeah.
How about that?
Did you talk to Al about how your dad was into jazz?
No.
For no reason whatsoever?
Let me ask you before you leave, because I only got a little bit limited amount of time with you. Thank you, man. You're awesome. Keep rocking.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. Coming up after the top of the hour, Menage a Trois Gone Wrong. I don't know that we've ever done that before.
I don't know.
Looking forward to hearing those stories. Right now, though, we want to revisit last night's Grammy telecast, which may be on still. I'm not sure. I said goodbye after about 3.5 hours, but our friend Randall Roberts is back on the phone from the Los Angeles Times. He is the pop music critic there. Hi, Randall. Welcome back to the show. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing all right. I'm a little tired, but I'm fine.
It was a long night last night, and then I switched over and watched The Walking Dead because I couldn't go to bed without seeing that, so it was a very late night for me. Randall, I will say this about the Grammys, and I'm dying to hear your take on it. I enjoy it more than most awards shows that are on because it is basically wall-to-wall performances. They give out very few awards. What do they give out, like 10 or 12 maybe Grammys on the actual telecast itself? And then the rest of it is all performances, and they don't really spend a lot of time trying to do wacky comedy. That's one thing that I like about the show, and I thought this was a fairly entertaining show. How about you?
Oh, I totally agree. I noticed that in the first hour, they only gave away 2 awards, and the rest was performance and entertainment. And I don't know. It's never boring. That's the thing about the Grammys is sometimes it's ridiculous, but it's never boring.
I'll tell you,
last night.
I was bored. Last night I was bored when they were doing like Glenn Campbell and all that kind of stuff. But
I don't know. The Band Perry and Blake Shelton. I wasn't crazy about him.
Right.
But Glenn Campbell, I thought he was really good considering his circumstances. I thought he was really good.
I did too. And I should mention to you and also for our listeners here, Randall, Kevin and I are very much of two minds on this. Kevin hates anything that's more than a year old, and he hates country music. So the Glenn Campbell thing was not going to work for him. I'm a lifelong country music fan and have tremendous respect for Glenn Campbell as an artist, and he has made some of the greatest pop music ever. And I think it's so classy of the Grammys, of NARIS, to give him an opportunity to, while he's still cognizant enough to be aware of the love that people have for him, to get out in front of a big stage and to know how loved he is. And I thought that was a very classy move.
Okay, but let me ask both of you a question.
Yes.
Did you need 3 full songs, 2 done by somebody else? I mean, it was a 10-minute piece.
I think they were showing true. That he has influence to today's stars.
Can't you do that in 6 minutes? Do you have to make that 10?
What do you think, Randall?
Well, you also have to remember that Glenn Campbell has lived in Los Angeles for like 40 or 50 years and has a lot of friends in the business. So, you know, devoting that much time to him is also an acknowledgement that this is somebody who's been around for a long time.
It's an acknowledgement.
You know, 10 minutes, yes, 10 minutes was long.
A little long.
It's a lot of Glenn Campbell in 2012. That's a legitimate point. Now, the Beach Boys should not be performing anymore, right, Randall?
that was a ridiculous 3-song segment.
That was brutal, right?
I agree.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I completely agree. That was rough. It looked like the guy from Foster the People, it looked like somebody was holding a knife to his neck while he was performing.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's talk about some of the younger performers, because that's the one thing about the Grammys. If you don't like whatever's on the screen, wait 10 minutes and something else. Let's talk about some of the young performers. I know that Chris Brown is back. I saw how well-received he was. This guy bores the crap out of me, and I don't know if it's just because he's not a very good singer. I don't feel like I'm seeing him do much different, even as a dancer. What do you think?
As a dancer, I think he's fantastic, but as a singer and as a performance, I don't know. He was jumping around so much. Can you imagine jumping around and trying to hit notes? There's no way that he's singing.
It is tough to do parkour and sing at the same time. That seems difficult.
What about Nicki Minaj, the most bizarre performance of the night? I wish they had done it earlier in the show because I fear a lot of people didn't stay up late enough to watch it. But, I mean, how do you even describe the Nicki Minaj performance to people who didn't see it?
I thought it was brilliant.
I did, too.
It was so well executed.
That was my favorite part.
She set it up on the red carpet. Yeah, she set it up on the red carpet walking in with a pope. I mean, how can you argue with that? And then, and everybody was scratching their heads for an hour, like, what the heck was she doing? And then for it to come full circle in the performance, I thought was really
And cool. Who knew the Pope could dance, you know?
She basically reenacted an exorcism on stage. She opened with singing I Feel Pretty, which I think is from West Side Story. She ended with singing a freaking Christmas carol. I mean, this performance just had everything. But I can imagine there were a lot of people who were scratching their heads over that one.
Oh, yeah.
How about my girlfriend Taylor Swift? I know she's not hip and popular with a lot of people. I love her, and I think there is a sincerity to what she's doing, and I really enjoyed her performance. What'd you think?
She pulled it off. I respect Taylor Swift, but I'm not crazy about her music. But I thought she was really good last night. I love the little synchronized country dance that they all did together. I thought that was super cool. And, you know, I'm a guy, and I just thought she looked amazing.
She always looks amazing, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Adele. How happy, do you not care? How much are you upset? I mean, for me, I was really excited for her.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, that song, Rolling in the Deep, was the uniter among all the different crazy stuff that went on last night.
Yeah.
I think everybody in the room agreed that Adele won, and Adele deserved to win. And, I mean, there's no denying that voice. There's no denying her presence. I mean, I loved the thing about snot. I mean, that's Adele.
That was sweet.
When she rubbed off her nose in the middle as she was crying, she was like, oh, I got snot in my nose. And it was classic Adele, and it was. Yeah, it was crazy.
Anytime somebody mentions snot in an accepted speech,
right.
I'm in. Yeah,
and I think that album has bounced back and forth into the number one slot for something like 20 weeks. I mean, it's just, it's sold 14 million copies or something like that. And you hit the nail on the head. It's the uniter. And Kevin and I were talking about this earlier today. Almost every Grammy Awards, Randall, somebody walks away disappointed with whatever wins Album of the Year and says that was the wrong choice. Everybody knew it was going to be Adele. Everybody was happy, and there was so much love in the room for her. I mean, it just seems like there are no haters on this person. You don't see that very often.
Yeah, you don't. I mean, I was joking that I could have written my critic's notebook about Adele winning about 2 months ago because it was a foregone conclusion. I mean, the Vegas odds on her winning were ridiculous. I mean, they were even odds.
This is the voice of Randall Roberts from the Los Angeles Times, our remaining minute talking about last night's Grammy Awards. Let's close with Dave Grohl, who's a friend of the show and has been great to K-Rock over the years, won 5 awards last night, second most to Adele. And I thought all of his performances were great, including right up to the end with Paul McCartney. You took exception in your column today with something he said on stage. What was that, Randall?
Well, he talked about real music versus making music on a computer. And I take exception to that in general. I think that it's kind of a rockist attitude that the only thing that learning one kind of instrument makes it more vital than learning another kind of instrument. When making music on a computer at this point, it takes as many man hours, it takes as much dedication to figure out how to do it as learning a guitar. So, you know,
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of computer. There's a lot of computer-made music that I'm sure Grohl likes. But I kind of get the sense he was basically shouting out people who can't sing and use autotune and things like that. Is what
true.
I thought.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I mean, he was shouting out. I think like the Katy Perry's of the world, which I totally understand. Katy Perry's performance, it was almost like she was trying to detract from the fact that. She can't sing and she can't dance.
I didn't hear anything when she was singing. So,
because you were too obsessed with her camel toe. I hope you saw that, Kevin. All right. We're out of time. You can read Randall Roberts online, of course, at latimes.com or pick up the newspaper. And you can also read his website at gloryglorygory.com. Randall, glad we got a chance to chat again. Thanks so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thank you.
Thanks. Hey, Bean, Chip is in here.
Foo Fighters, Foo Fighters, Foo Fighters.
Oh, Chip is so happy. Ralph's on vacation this week. We're taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat, and this time it's Chip, who generally answers the phones when you call the Kevin and Bean Show, but today we're putting her behind the mic. Chip, what's going on?
Oh, so Foo Fighters won 5 of the 6 Grammy Awards yesterday.
Says the girl with the Foo Fighters tattoo on her arm.
So it's a good night. I had Foo Fighters and Walking Dead back last night.
Yeah, so
it was a good night for me.
Yeah.
Well, Dave Grohl, besides being, you know, winning every award that he's doing, he's doing a documentary about Sound City Studios that closed last year.
Right.
Big list of people coming in. It's Trent Reznor, Josh Homme, Tom Petty, Fleetwood Mac, Chris Novoselic, Cheap Trick, Lars Ulrich are all taking part in this documentary.
Anyone we've heard of?
Yeah, no, you know, just, you know.
Just those guys.
Where's the studio, Chip?
It was in L.A. It closed in May. But huge albums were recorded there. Nevermind by Nirvana.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rage Against the Machine self-titled album was there.
Sure.
Should be coming out later this year. There's a trailer up on the web if you want to check it out. But it's going to be called Sound City. Check it out.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Next up, Whitney Houston's dead. I don't know if you knew. I don't know if you knew. It kind of was under the radar.
Wait, is this a still? Is this an update? Or
she's still dead. She's still okay. dead, yeah. All right.
Let me thank you for bringing that up, Chip. Let me play the tape from our show 1 week ago for folks who, I don't know if I'm going to be able to have this on my computer here, but for somebody who may not have heard this.
Whitney Houston.
Dead?
No, not yet.
Oh. Wow.
How about that? How about Kevin predicting it less than a week before she actually did die?
Kevin the Diva Killer.
That was a tough prediction.
But anyway, more Grammy news. Skrillex got punked by Deadmau5 this weekend.
What? So funny.
Please tell me.
On the red carpet, he wore a t-shirt with Skrillex's phone number on it saying, "You mad, bro?" So if you want to call up Skrillex and congratulate him on his wins, you can do that if you saw that picture. I'll make it the picture of the day later. But
there you go.
But Skrillex took it in stride and he tweeted, Deadmau5 just wore my phone number on his effing t-shirt. Now I gotta retire my number. So thanks, man.
Now, Chip, I know that you are a rock chick, but what did you enjoy the electronic portion of the Grammys last night with the David Guetta and the Skrillex?
I DVR'd it because I'd be at work early this morning because I run the board in the morning. But I'm gonna check it out. I'm open to it. The only thing I hate is country, so anything else is cool.
I get why people like going to those things. I get if you're there in person and you've got the bass, pounding you in the chest and everybody's dancing and chicks look hot and stuff. I get all that. It's not that entertaining to me to watch people spin. You know what I mean? On television. What did you think, Kevin? I know you're a fan of both of those guys.
I sort of liked it, but that's one of those things where it's so much better when you're there.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really translate very well.
Yeah, it's kind of
TV.
It dies down on TV.
I just wanted my dad to be flipping. My dad doesn't have to flip channels because he only watches CBS because he's that old. But I wanted to be a fly on the wall when my dad comes across Deadmau5 with his big giant rat head.
Yeah.
It comes across that on his TV and has to try to figure out what the F is going on.
Yeah. Awesome. So, celebrity birthdays. That's, Jerry Springer, 68.
Oh, he's
still
the best.
Today he's going to celebrate, making, a TV show. My Threesome hates your hillbilly stepchild. And Peter Gabriel, 62. Peter Hook of New Order and Joy Division is 56. Henry Rollins,
yeah.
Awesome. Black Flag, love him, 51. Actor Neil McDonough of Justified and Boomtown. Bassist Todd Harrell of Three Doors Down. What? Kryptonite?
Easy.
Oh, we still play that. And actress Mina Suvari is 33. I'm Chip. It's the Showbiz Beat.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Shh. Let me hear it.
Hear what? Oh. Hear? Cool. What is? I think it's an alarm or something, isn't it?
I think that's it.
It's like a robotic cricket.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, it's a robotic cricket. Thanks, Muggs.
Very helpful, Muggs. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Monday. We'll try to fix that. Hope it's not too annoying. First, though, we want to talk about the wonderful topic just in time for Valentine's Day of threesomes.
Hey, Remy, what happened to your pants?
I've never done a threesome. That's what we're doing here, right?
That is from the new girl last week. We'll get back to that in a minute and find out how their threesome went wrong. We're talking about the French call it a ménage à trois, which is all the French you really need to know. But it seems like on paper, like if having sex with one person is good, having sex with two other people at a time must be fantastic, right? Like what's better than that? But you'd be surprised how rarely
other people.
You'd be surprised how often it doesn't work out. Here's a story out of Wisconsin. Somerset, Wisconsin is where it happened. Here's a teenager. Does it say in the article, Kevin, how old he is? He's a high school student. That's all we know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's a high school student and he goes to a party where there are a bunch of people and there are sisters who live at the house who say, "Hey, let's go down into the basement." Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. A 17-year-old named Amanda, a 24-year-old named Valerie. And he's a high school kid. He's got to be thinking, jackpot, right?
Sure. I hit the jackpot. Let's go.
Gold mine.
Yep.
He goes downstairs. One of the girls demands that he take off his clothing and start having sex with the other girl.
Fine. Let's do it. Don't you think this guy would have been fine with anything?
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Look, he's got two girls down there. He's 17 or whatever he is, 18 maybe. At the most, he's 18. He is just going to go with however the evening unfolds is going to be fine with him because it's already the greatest night of his life, the fact that he's been invited. Well, there aren't a lot of details between how we get to the point where they ask him to take off his clothes and have sex with one of the girls to the point where the evening ended as they have pliers on his penis and are twisting it.
Oh, no.
What the hell?
Oh,
apparently,
no.
That wasn't what he had signed up for. That's not what he was hoping that the evening would end that way. That isn't good for you.
That is not good for you.
How could you even do that to somebody?
I don't know.
Unless they killed your family or something. I can't even, for fun?
So they lured the kid in. I guess they had to tie him up. They would have to. And then they took the pliers.
Oh my God.
And that's not what he wanted from the threesome.
That's the worst menage a trois ever, right?
So we want to take your calls. We'll give you a few more details, but 1-800-520-1067. Menage a trois has gone wrong. Maybe you just thought you would be up for it.
And
in reality, when it started happening, you weren't.
When you came face to face with whatever you came face to face with.
Face to whatever.
I would be willing to bet, by the way, and Lisa, you may be able to speak to this, but there are a lot of people who probably say yes to a menage a trois because it's what their partner really, really wants, even though they're kind of not into it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, what are you uptight? No, I'm not. Okay, let's do it. And then maybe one of the people in the threesome would prefer it didn't go that way, is not happy about it, I would imagine. And there could be some rough feelings there, I would think.
I'm sure. And I'm sure that there are times when you finish and somebody says, let's do that again next week. That was great. Yeah. And the other person's thinking, no, never. But now you like them more than me.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, if you're in a relationship, this has got to be dangerous territory.
It does. You have to not to me, it seems like you have to not care about the relationship and only care about the threesome. And then it works fine.
Right.
But
and that's a really good point. But I can see how everybody goes into there and thinking, hey, we're all adults and we're all saying yes and we're all on board, so it's going to be fine, whatever happens. But then real feelings start to get into it and you go, hey, that's my partner. Now I don't want to see them with another person. Or why does it seem like they're into that third person more than they're into me? I mean, there are a lot of ways it could go wrong. And I'm really not going to be happy unless it breaks out into a fist fight. It starts out as a menage a trois and ends with a fist fight or weapons or something.
There are a lot of ways it could go wrong. I don't know that we're going to get better than pliers on the junk, though.
I don't think so. I think that's
top of the mountaintop to right to hell.
So we are going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. And I should also say this, by the way, and I know I have Kevin's backing on this, too. The only acceptable threesome, one guy, two girls. Okay, one guy,
are
two girls is the only threesome there is.
That's take correct. Calls?
No, we'll take
from
calls.
A different situation
no, we'll take
because
calls.
Those would be funny.
Yeah.
We'll take calls, but that's not a threesome. That's the devil's work. Whatever that thing is with two guys, one girl, that's the devil's work.
It's in the Bible, Lisa. That's how.
I did not know that.
Yeah, all right. Before we go to your calls, 1-800-520-106, have a menage a trois has gone wrong. Let's get back to the new girl because it was so awesome last week. It was basically just a big misunderstanding. So Zooey Deschanel's character, Jess, is having an argument with Nick, one of her roommates, and neither one is willing to admit that they're wrong about what they think about the landlord who's in the apartment. So basically what they're going to do is, because neither one of them will admit that they're wrong, they're going to go through with this threesome. Neither one of them wants to do it, and it's very funny as it gets closer and closer and as clothes start coming off.
Look, if you feel so bad, then just get in there. Just dip your toe into the pool of possibility. Hey, Remy.
Let's get weird and toss that ball around, huh?
So turned on.
Okay, you would seriously have a threesome with that man just to get me to admit that I'm wrong?
Oh, I think we could do a lot worse than Remy. He's got strong arms.
All right, so a menage a trois is about three of us.
Sure.
Trois. Menaging fully.
What?
Okay, this is happening with this guy. This is happening right now, Jess.
Yeah.
So it's going to get even a little more uncomfortable. We just have to keep talking with each other, all right? Around and communicating. Let's get some relaxed music going,
great
okay?
Great idea.
All right, yeah, that is happening with that guy. All right, let's take Phil at 1-800-520-1067. He is on line 5. He's going to get us started just in time for Valentine's Day. Menage a trois gone bad. Hi, Phil. Thanks for calling.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. What happened?
Lisa, Mary, everybody. So what happened was me and this girl messing around. She says to me she wants to bring her friend in. So all three of us are messing around, and everything's going great. And then all of a sudden, one of them gets up and leaves the room, and she comes back into the room with a whip. And I mean a big whip.
Oh, no.
And is that whip intended to whip you with? That's the plan?
No, that, see, I didn't know it was for me or for them, but I was like, nah.
I don't blame you.
I'm out.
No, I'm like, check, please. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, but let me ask you this. I mean,
you're in a restaurant?
Because right now you're in a pretty good situation with two girls and sexy time is happening. There's no way you could talk them out of the whip and kind of just keep going with the other stuff?
You know, I was doing it for the experience factor.
Right.
But then I didn't want the experience factor to have a whip involved. It was,
I understand.
But Bean's saying, if you have game, somehow you talk them out of the whip and finish up.
Well, let's just say this. I'm not going to say I'm the greatest guy in the world. I'm okay, you know, looks-wise.
Right.
So I was pretty happy just to be able to say, yeah, two girls wanted to mess around with me, and that was good enough for me.
Okay.
I understand.
Yeah, you got part of the story. I understand. Right. Very good.
It's a false start, we'll call it.
Thank you very much for the call. Yeah, I guess the more people you involve in the scenario, the more oddball stuff can come up, you know, because everybody's got a fetish or whatever. All right, 1-800-520-1067, Menage a Trois, Gone Bad. That's the topic. We'll take your calls next here on the Kevin. The very latest on the investigation into the death of Whitney Houston coming up in about 50 minutes or so here with Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who have just been doing a fantastic job covering this story ever since Saturday afternoon. Right now, though, we're talking about Menage a Trois gone wrong.
That's me, that's him, and that's you.
So I do that, and you do that, and he does that?
Unless you do that, and I do that.
Well, I'm the only one who can do that.
Unless we use one of those, but I don't know where we get that.
Well, that sounds like that one's going pretty well. Taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Let's take Andrea to get us going here. She's on line 7. Andrea, thanks for calling into the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for being on hold for us. Threesome's gone wrong. What happened?
Well, I realize that I probably shouldn't have used my real name.
All right, Julia, tell us what happened.
yeah, thank you. I was the third party. It was a couple. They were good, but she was my best friend, mm-hmm. and ended up with her having a nervous breakdown, being completely jealous of me, thinking that he was in love with me, and they ended up getting a divorce, and we haven't been friends.
No! So her marriage broke up, and your best friend.
Yeah. So it was over for all of us. So
you must have been really good in that threesome.
You must have been incredible. Yeah. Now, did the breakdown happen like during the actual event? That I mean, like, did she start weeping when she saw her husband touch you, or was it afterwards when she started thinking back to how it had played out?
It was afterwards when she started thinking back about how it played out, and I think it had to do with somebody looking at her, her husband looking at someone else and being like, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How about that? So big regret then, I guess.
Huge regret. I will never do it again.
Did you text your best friend? Nailed it.
Like, I'm better than you are. it was awful. I mean, it was, it was something that I was like not that into, but they were like, no. Like, we've been wanting to do this, but we've been wanting to ask you. And wow. I was like, well, all right. And
very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Kind of Julia, thank you for the call. You are a goer, my dear. I appreciate that very much. All right, let's try Randy. Randy's on line 2, talking about threesomes gone bad just in time for Valentine's Day. Hi, Randy. What happened?
All right, I was about 19 years old. Oh, by the way, good morning, party people.
Morning.
Good morning.
About 19 years old, Terrence took off for the weekend to Vegas, and they came home a day early. Well, came home and...
oh, no.
Yeah, we were in the middle of everything, and mom freaked out, ran out the house. My dad... got upset at first, and he realized who one of the girls was. It was the place that he was working at. It was his owner's daughter.
Oh no! Wow. That could be trouble at work.
Well, they didn't. He didn't really say anything. He just after, of course we had to stop it then. But after he talked to me a little bit later on, he just like gave me a smirk, laughed, shook his head. He's like, pretty much told me that that's my boy.
Yeah,
he hated the owner.
That's funny. So you got a little bit of revenge on the frustration he was having at work by nailing the dude's daughter. That's very funny. By the way, you don't need to say anything more than mom walked in on her threesome. That's all. That's enough to ruin it for you right there. All right. Thank you very much for the call.
But you do have to go, hey, can we finish? Or
Brian writes in on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, my first threesome went... Hey, my first threesome. Wow. My first threesome went very wrong. My mom walked in on us. I had porn on the TV. Both of the girls were fat and not attractive, which made me really embarrassed, actually. Made everything so much worse. Ought to be 22 again, but that was, in fact, an epic fail. Yeah, mom's walking in is no good.
Yeah.
Let's try... is this another Randy on line four? Let's try this. This is something new.
Hey, Randy.
Yes, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
What happened, dude?
Great. So I'm with these two Swedish girls. I'm a big black guy. One of them is classic beauty. The other one is heavy. The beautiful one cycled again that day.
Oh.
So that's not the bad stuff.
All right. This is maybe too much information.
I think so.
Hold it. That's not the bad stuff, guys.
I know. The bad stuff is while I'm with her friend, I see her put on a strap-on, and she tells me her dream is to get...
I'm glad the phone died. Okay, she puts on a strap-on, so now all of a sudden you're the doee instead of the doer. Understood. Gotcha.
That's a bad surprise.
Yeah, that's probably not what he signed up for. I didn't know if I could buy him or not. It was convenient that he was a big strapping black dude and they were two hot Swedish girls. It sounded like he saw that in a movie once. I'm not sure.
Could be.
All right, let's get back to reality. Let's try Nina, line five, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking menage a trois gone bad. Hi, Nina.
Hello.
What happened?
Nope.
What happened? Well, my best friend had this guy that was her boyfriend. She invited him over, and to make a long story short, he ended up falling asleep with us, waking up in the morning, and so my friend started messing around with him. He started messing around with me, and it turned into a threesome. And
okay, so far so good.
And he really liked it. Well, it happened a few more times, and I didn't want to do it anymore. I thought it was weird. I felt weird, but then he ended up just wanting to be with me, booted her away.
Oh.
And she was a best friend for 15 years, and so then I could tell she was hurt by it, and she even called him up at work, just started a bunch of trouble between us. And anyways, I stopped being her friend. We stayed together. I had a child, but he would always buy him, but he kept bringing up the fact, oh, I wish we could do that again.
No, yeah. Still wants a threesome.
Nice. How about that?
Hey, remember the good old days?
Yeah. He liked the dirty talk. I loved it. But then he goes, and he knew that he was messing with, you know, troubled waters if he went there. So he kind of starts saying it. And I go ahead, just say it. You know, if this is going to make you feel good.
And then he said, I'm being.
Come on. Nina, are you guys still together?
No, because he's probably having threesomes other places. I don't know.
I think your friend made the right decision.
Yeah.
She was the lucky one.
Wow. That's amazing. Thank you very much, Nina. Appreciate that. You had doubts about Nina. I think she came through, though, there,
Kevin.
She
did.
I did have doubts. Let's talk to John. You want to?
Sure.
Yes.
John.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about your sexy threesome.
Okay, this was super sexy. We were all very, very, very influenced. Mm-hmm. We're hot, heavy into it. And then one of the girls ended up... Yes, just like that.
And one of the girls ended up...
Gagging on me.
Okay.
Which in turn made her...
Okay.
Whoa!
One of the girls ended up gagging, is what he said. And then what happened?
Are you there?
Just say she vomited!
Everyone vomited. That's the story.
That's how. Well, that was a little anticlimactic, no pun intended, with the ending there. I guess we lost that phone line too. But yeah, it ended up in sick all around, which is not what you want. hope for going into a menage.
Come on, how do you tell that? How do you tell that story poorly?
Right, it has everything.
All you have to say is everyone ended up throwing up, and you win. Dumbass.
Mondays we talk to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in the TMZ newsroom. I can't imagine what the last 2 days have been like for you, Harvey, but thank you for carving out some time for us. How are you, man?
I'm tired.
Yeah, I'm sure you are.
The staff is amazing.
Anything going on?
Yeah.
Harvey, you broke the news to me. That's how I first found out that Whitney Houston was dead, was by seeing your tweet on Saturday afternoon. And it was weird how this story broke. Wasn't there some crazy, like, unknown guy with 12 Twitter followers who actually broke the story, and then the Associated Press followed it up from there?
Well, we were getting calls, too. I mean, we were hot on the trail of this thing. And, you know, it's the kind of thing where you don't want to put anything up. because there are so many false death reports. And
that's a daily thing, isn't it? I mean, there are celebrities dying.
Oh, it happens all the time. Now, yeah. I am told, I don't know how, I can just tell you what I'm told by somebody in the family, that they believe when Bobby Brown was told, Bobby Brown told the wire service, but the people, some people in her camp were lying about it and just saying it didn't happen when it
did. Of course. That's what they do. Now, the last I heard, and of course, we've been very busy with our own show here this morning, so I haven't seen what you've been putting up in the last couple hours, but the last I heard is that the autopsy has already happened, but toxicology, no. How much do we know about what killed
Whitney
Houston?
Well, I can tell you a lot.
Okay.
Here's what we know. She had water in her lungs. Now, we are told by people in her family that they've been told by authorities that they believe, they don't know this yet, but they believe that there wasn't enough water in her lungs to suggest a drowning, and that it may have been a combination of drugs and alcohol, which possibly gave her a heart attack, and they just don't know it yet, and they won't know until all of the toxicology and everything is completed.
But she was in a bathtub.
She was definitely in a bathtub, and
okay.
She was definitely submerged. The issue did she drown or now, in terms of the drugs, I can tell you what they found in her room. They found about 6 pill bottles.
Okay.
The drugs included Xanax and Midol, ibuprofen, amoxicillin. She had gone to a doctor a couple of times in the last few days for a sore throat. And there were no illicit drugs that they found. There was alcohol present. They did find some alcohol, and they think, you know, that one of the operating theories is it could have been a combination, an adverse reaction with the alcohol.
This is Heath Ledger all over again, right?
Well, let's review. It could be Heath Ledger all over again. It could be Brittany Murphy all over again. But Michael Jackson all over again. But here's the difference. There were massive quantities of drugs with these other folks that you're talking about. Whitney Houston, there were not a lot of pills. We know that there were about 6 pill bottles, but it wasn't anything out of the ordinary. This could have been at your house or my house or anybody's house. It just wasn't
right.
A thing that was out of the ordinary, and that's what we're being told by authorities. So the body has been released by the coroner. It could go back to Atlanta as early as today, and I think that's what's going to happen. I know that her mom wants to do that. So that's kind of where it stands right now.
It struck me as so odd, and it makes a little bit more sense now hearing your account of what happened or what is likely to have happened, Harvey. There were people on the other side of the door. She's in a hotel room suite at the Beverly Hilton preparing, getting ready to go down for the Clive Davis party that she was going to be at and possibly even perform at. And all of a sudden, she's in the bathroom too long, and some of her people, I guess a hairstylist, I'm told, knocks on the door, and they go in and they find that she's already drowned, she's already dead. It just struck me as so odd that there wasn't a peep, like there wouldn't have been some splashing, or if it's a heart attack or something like that, some yelling. I just was so surprised that it happened so silently with people right there in the room.
Well, it's something that suggests she could have fallen asleep, she could have been incapacitated, she could have had a heart attack, but whatever it wasn't something where she consciously was struggling in the tub. I mean, that's pretty clear, and you're right. You're simply right. I got to tell you, the thing we've been talking about all morning,
yes.
Is it bizarre to you that they had that party when the body was in the same hotel room still?
Well, a lot of people were asking that question, whether they were just going to cancel the whole thing, not just because it was a party and it seemed a little tacky, but because Clive Davis was throwing the party, was the host of the party, and was as close to Whitney Houston as anybody has ever been. You
absolutely.
Think that he wouldn't want to go through with it.
Absolutely. And remember, the body was in a few floors away from where the party was being held.
Yeah, that's odd. That is odd.
Now, did you have anyone at the party, Harvey? Because it must have seemed like a wake. It must have been the opposite of, hey, we're so excited that the Grammys are in town this weekend.
Yeah,
let's have fun.
Coming out, and there were champagne still. I'm sure that it resembled that. I just find it kind of weird.
That is weird.
It is weird. And I know some people, like Taylor Swift is one. There were others who just didn't feel like partying after the news. They were pretty, you know, pretty broken up, and they didn't think it would be appropriate.
Well,
but
guys, it's one thing, too, that, you know, somebody dies in New York, and you're in L.A., and you think, gee, I don't feel like
partying. Right.
It's another thing, which is a creep factor, where in the same building you're in, that body is there.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Two more quick questions for you, Harvey. And again, we're talking to Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, who have minute-by-minute updates on this story. What's going on with Bobby Christina? 2 times in the hospital after her mom's death? What happened?
Well, you can understand it. I mean, she is just a mess. And, yeah, she went
to Cedars. This is Whitney Houston's daughter?
Went to Cedars twice yesterday. Bobby flew in last night. Craziness at the airport. But she's having an understandably really, really, really hard time.
Yeah, of course.
And my last question is, and I was so surprised that Bobby Brown found out about it while out on tour with New Edition and still performed Saturday night.
Well,
what's that
theme.
About?
That's the theme, isn't it? I mean, it is...
The show must go on.
Yeah, you know, and the show must go on with Bobby. The show must go on with Clive. I just found the whole thing weird.
It is weird. Well, 48 years old is way too young for anybody to die, that's for sure. And, you know, we never know whether she would have made a comeback. A lot of people loved her. A lot of people were rooting for her. Very sad news, Harvey. And you guys are, I know you're tired, but you're doing a great job over there at TMZ.com. And thanks for spending some time with us today.
Okay, guys.
Thanks, Harvey.
Real quick before you go, Joe, I know you're the scout of very good talent. So I'm going to sing for you, and you tell me how it is. You ready? My name is Beer Mug. I'm kind of fat. My name is Beer Mug. How'd you like that?
I don't like that.
Oh, Joe Jackson turned me down.
That's Beer Mug from the Grammy Roundtable.
I'm a big fan of your family.
We got more interviews with Beer Mug coming up after the top of the hour here on the Kevin Amin Show. In the meantime, we're filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Kevin, you don't watch Saturday Night Live, do you?
Nope.
Do you just believe the hype when people say, oh, it's bad, I don't watch that show anymore because it's bad, you just don't tune in? Or
I never really watched it. I don't care if people say it's bad because that's what they say about most of the movies that I see.
Mm-hmm. But, right. That's true.
But there does seem to be unanimous when people talk about Saturday Night Live.
It has its moments, but...
Too much of it is hit and miss.
Yeah.
That's the thing. By nature of the kind of show it does, 90 minutes of new comedy every single week. Look, we know from putting this show together, not everything is going to be good. Right. Let's face it. We know that.
No question.
Saturday Night Live takes a lot of lumps for the sketches that don't work. And this past weekend, they had a couple real stinkers, a couple that were really bad.
But at least overall, they keep them short, Dean.
Overall, a really good show. And you love Zooey Deschanel like I do. You should totally check it out. She was hilarious with some of their sketches. And they're really, really good. The Andy Samberg, is that his name? Adam Samberg? Yeah. Andy Samberg. Andy does such a phenomenal job with those, those fake commercials and stuff. And I don't know if he was the genius behind this one or not, but Bill Hader was playing Clint Eastwood. And they were doing a parody of the Super Bowl commercial that Clint Eastwood did. That very controversial spot about halftime in America and talking about Detroit and the auto industry and everything like that. We don't do this very often, but I wanted to bring in a clip from this past weekend's SNL. If you can picture that Clint Eastwood commercial in your mind and then listen up and see what they did with it on SNL.
During the Super Bowl, I said it was halftime for America. I said Motor City's getting back on its feet. I tried to make an inspiring ad that would rally our country. But you dummies in the media thought it was about politics. Well, guess what? Halftime's over. We're in the third quarter now, America, and we're way behind. So I don't care if Obama runs the ball, or Romney throws a touchdown, or Ron Paul kicks a field goal with his tiny little chicken legs. I'll tell you right now, though, I ain't putting Santorum in the game. He can stand on the sideline doing cheers in his little sweater vests. Pussy. What's this commercial for again? All right, Chrysler. Get a Chrysler and get off my damn lawn.
Yeah. Get off my lawn. And then they made a recurring bit and it kept coming back and it just kept getting weirder and weirder. They got them up on YouTube. You should definitely check it out. Funny. It was very, very funny.
Alexander Skarsgård is he's on True Blood.
Yes, he is.
A lot of the women love him. One fan at Fashion Week wanted his gum. I guess they asked him for it. Can I have your gum? So he said, all right, handed her the gum. She put it in her mouth and chewed it for like 4 hours. Odd, right?
It's a little weird.
That's a tiny bit creepy, yeah.
I mean, he might be a little...
No matter how much you like the dude, do you really want already been chewed gum?
I guess it's a story.
I guess, but you don't have to chew it to have the story if he gives you the gum.
Right.
You
put it under glass and you say, hey, here's Sarsgaard's gum. That's what you do. You don't put it in your mouth.
Put it in your mouth and destroy it for 4 more hours and then just throw it away.
Here's an update on a story that we told you about last week. The Simpsons got together this past weekend to try to set the Guinness World Record for watching television. This was all to commemorate the 500th episode of the series coming up on Sunday. More than 100 people locked in a room at Hollywood and Highland Center. They were allowed to eat and drink during the marathon, but if you fell asleep, you were disqualified. Look, we know from trying to set the Guinness Book of World Records for TV watching because Dave, the King of Mexico, has done it twice. Well, how many hours did he watch TV? Do you remember, Kevin?
I think it was like 80-some and then 100.
Right.
And, now, he just told me in my earphones, 92 wow. and 100.
Uh-huh. All right. He legitimately broke yes. the world record two different times, but because of paperwork errors, not his fault. Literally, this time, not his fault.
Right.
He didn't get into the book. Well, the current standing record was 86 hours, 6 minutes, and 41 seconds. That was what it was going into the weekend, set back in December of 2010. They, by the way, watched a 24 marathon, in case you're wondering what they watched for their attempt to break the record. At the Simpsons event this weekend, at the halfway point, more than 100 began. There were just 34 people left. And then there were 29 by Friday. And then at the end, there were just two guys, Jeremy Franco from Los Angeles and Carfin Shree from Acampo, California, who both set the world record at 86 hours and 37 minutes.
Wow.
The way this article is written, it made it sound like Fox stepped in, stopped the competition, gave both of them $10,500 and all the Simpsons stuff, which was the grand prize. But wouldn't you think that one of these guys would want to keep watching it just to be the sole record holder?
Yeah,
I would,
you go ahead and take your 5 minutes off. I just want to keep going.
Yeah, of course.
If you're at 86 hours and 37 minutes, which is the new world record, go ahead and, you know, keep going. Add a minute. Be the dude. But this article makes it sound like they ended the competition together at the same time, which is just weird. Unless it was, I'm not going to quit. Are you going to quit? No, I'm not going to quit.
Right.
They both just wanted to quit so bad. That must have been what happened, is they both just said, all right, I'll stop if you'll stop, since we've both broken the record. But in case you were wondering if, you know, Fox's attempt to set a new Guinness record was going to work, it looks like apparently it did. I'm just sad that Dave wasn't there, because Dave could have done 100.
Dave kicked it off. He was there at the beginning, but not at the end.
Yeah.
Madonna, halftime show, still some fallout. New York Post page 6 says that CeeLo Green hurt himself. He suffered a slipped disc. While he was
barely moved on stage during that. He wasn't the one doing all the dancing and the jumping up and down on the rope.
Maybe he heard it before or right at the beginning. I mean, maybe that's why he wasn't moving
Oh, maybe,
much.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Mini Darth Vader walking around just like, I can't move. I'm going to flip my flippers and people will think I'm moving.
They're not flippers. He's got arms.
He's got
Kevin.
Flippers.
Come on.
Be honest.
Man.
Monday means top 10 at the box office over the weekend. The Vow had a big pre-Valentine's Day debut. I'm sure it's going to do good business tomorrow night with people going out on a date looking for this Rachel McAdams movie. And who else is in that, Lisa, besides Rachel?
Channing Tatum.
Yes.
And yeah. The chicks love him, right?
Well, yep. He's got little dead eyes, but he is still hunky.
$41.7 million is how much that made at the box office this weekend, which is a pretty good debut. Safe House just behind that. That's the new Denzel Washington movie that came in at $39.3 million.
That is just beginning to end, nothing but testosterone. It's great.
I love movies like that.
Yeah, it really just doesn't even let you breathe.
And Denzel, I mean, he's great in everything, right?
And Ryan Reynolds, I think, out-acts him.
Wow.
Ryan Reynolds, and I've never had the hate for Ryan Reynolds that Ralph did.
Yeah.
But he's great. He's really good
well,
in this.
That's really exciting.
Yeah.
Coming in number 3 this weekend was The Journey 2. That's the Brendan Fraser, The Rock movie, $27.6 million. Star Wars Episode 1, Phantom Menace. This is the bad one. This is the worst of all the movies.
Jar Jar Binks, that's all we have to say.
Jar Jar Binks in 3D. We talked to Mr. Movie Phone on Friday about Kevin's desire to maybe see this movie.
I kind of want to watch this in 3D. Does that make me bad?
Yep.
Well, you didn't go, at least, so you did not contribute to the $23 million it made.
I didn't go because I didn't have time, but I still may.
Chronicle number 5, then The Woman in Black, The Gray, Big Miracle, The Descendants, and Underworld Awakening rounding out your top 10.
Celebrity birthdays, we have talk show host Jerry Springer.
Mm-hmm.
He's the best. Jerry Springer is the best. We've had him on many, many times. He knows what he does is fluffy crap.
Yes.
He's good with it. He's the best. Singer Peter Gabriel is 62. I was flipping around channels the other day, Bean, and I saw him on stage. He was riding a bicycle around in circle.
Okay.
On stage. Why?
He's odd.
I don't know. Is that why? Because he's just a weirdo?
He's just a weirdo.
Bassist Peter Hook of New Order and Joy Division, 56. Singer Henry Rollins is 51. Actress Kelly Hu from Martial Law is 44. Singer Feist is 36. And actress Mina Suvari, 33 years old. And that is your showbiz.
More of those beer mug interviews, including his sit-down with Weird Al Yankovic, coming up in a couple of minutes here on the Kevin Amin Show, where he floats the idea that's been going around about Al playing the Super Bowl in 2013, which, I got my fingers crossed. I want that to happen so bad.
We're trying to make it happen, and that, to me, means there's no way it's going to happen.
That's true. You're the wrong people to back it.
Kevin Amin do equal fail. Have you ever noticed that?
That's correct, yes.
How about one more quick look at the Grammys last night? 54th Annual Grammy Awards were held at Staples Center, Los Angeles. I thought a very entertaining show. 3.5 hours
boring.
Is a... is a slog, though. That's a long ass night. I will tell you that. And they don't give, you know, I think they only give like 10 awards on the TV and then like literally 100 awards off air.
Ah, that's amazing.
There's over 100 Grammys. I know.
Well,
crazy.
I think the reason they do that is because they think that the performances are going to get better ratings. And right. I would imagine that's true, except for everyone was old.
But it's amazing that 10 Grammys equals 3 hours.
Yeah.
Well, that's what amazes me.
Yeah, because it is basically a performance-based show. And you're right. There were definitely some oldsters last night.
They needed a half hour for Glenn Miller or Glenn Beck. What's his name?
Glenn Campbell.
Glenn Campbell. For God's sakes, how many Glenn Campbell songs do you need?
Well,
he
didn't even do his best songs. Where was Wichita Lineman?
Who cares?
I love Wichita Lineman.
What's happening?
Where is By the Time I Get to Phoenix?
Who
Galveston?
Cares?
Come on. There's a lot of great Glenn Campbell songs. Look, if anyone should have some respect for Glenn Campbell, it should be you.
Why?
Because he's got the Alzheimer's too, Kevin. Oh. This may be the last thing he ever remembers.
Look,
come on.
That's fine, but just you can pay tribute to him. You don't have to do a half hour on the Grammy. Do one song.
All right, let's talk about some of the other performances that we haven't had much chance to play audio from. Nicki Minaj, first of all,
was awesome.
Was bizarre and surreal. It was like something out of a Darren Aronofsky movie. She had this crazy outfit, and she showed up with the guy dressed like the Pope. And they literally they showed a video from exorcism movies, and she was singing and dancing and chained up. She started with a little bit of this "I Feel Pretty" song.
I feel pretty. I feel pretty, and with tea I slay.
She's more known as a rapper than a singer, but I want you to listen closely, especially you, Lisa, if you missed it last night, to what Nicki does with her voice here.
I pity any girl with me to bear.
That was your favorite performance?
Wow.
You had no time for Glenn Campbell. Love the Nicki Minaj, though,
The reason I love it, though, is because every time they took a shot of the audience, they were baffled. No one had any idea. And I just love that. I didn't love her performance as much as I just love nobody there knew what was going on, and they were all looking around like, what is
She's
this?
She's channeling Yoko.
She's channeling Yoko. It's a good band.
Isn't it weird from what you know about Taylor Swift that Nicki Minaj and Taylor Swift are practically best friends? Like they hang out all the time together. Isn't that so strange? Did you see them draped over each other, sitting next to each other in the audience last night? They're really, really good friends.
That is odd.
I don't know what they've got to talk about. I was saying earlier when we had on Randall Roberts from the Los Angeles Times that I get the draw for electronic music. I see how much fun it would be if I were into people to be at Coachella. When you go out there when the dance music is happening, there's nothing better, right? I mean, it's tribal.
Yeah.
You feel it in your chest. On TV, though, I don't know how much Deadmau5 I need. Let me know when you've had enough, because I've had enough. I got plenty.
I've actually had enough.
Are you sure? Because there may be a really good part coming up right here.
But I agree with you being in that, out there, if you're going to Coachella or whatever and he's playing, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Right.
In person, to me, it's great, but it really does. Some stuff translates a little better than others.
And it was kind of odd a little bit in that, God bless Foo Fighters. I mean, they're one of the best live bands working. They make tremendous records. We love Dave Grohl. We love Taylor. We love all those guys so much. Pat, the whole group. But it is interesting that in Dave's speech, when they won the best rock album or best rock song, I guess, for The Wall, he kind of took it upon himself to blast people who make music with machines. Yet, obviously, he is down with somebody like Deadmau5 because they released that remix together. And they essentially performed together last night in the tent where they did that song. But here's what I thought was one of the best speeches of the night, and it was very heartfelt from Dave Grohl as he's picking up the Rock Song Award for Walk.
To me, this award means a lot because it shows that the human element of making music is what's most important. Singing into a microphone and learning to play an instrument and learning to do your craft, that's the most important thing for people to do. It's not about being perfect. It's not about sounding absolutely correct. It's not about what goes on in a computer. It's about what goes on in here, and it's about what goes on in here.
According to a his brain and then to his
and
penis.
His junk. And yeah, that was weird.
That was all about. A couple more clips from the Grammys last night. A little bit of a surprise that Bon Iver won, A, because he seems too hip, too indie for Grammy voters as we've come to know them or think of them anyway to be aware of. It's weird that they would give it to somebody that most people still haven't heard of at this point.
Yeah.
It's also weird for me as a guy who's been a fan of Bon Iver's for a long time that, you know, I've been listening to his records for 4 years and now all of a sudden he's winning a Best New Artist Award. You know, it just seems like at some point he's not a best artist anymore. This is like introducing Catherine McPhee on Smash, you know? Like, how long can she still be new?
Yeah.
But he did win the Best Alternative Album last night award over, you know, groups like Radiohead, and he also won the Best New Artist. And he had, I thought, a little bit of a confusing speech.
Hi. It's really hard to accept this award. There's so much talent out here, like, on this stage, and there's a lot of talent that's not here.
And at this point, I'm thinking, it's like Beer Mug getting an award.
Yeah, it really is.
Like, hey, guy has no idea where he's going.
What I play the drums. My dad used to.
Is he going to be able to pull this off?
Tonight. And it's also hard to accept because, you know, when I started to make songs, I did it for the inherent reward of making songs. But, so I'm a little bit uncomfortable up here. But with that discomfort, I do have a sense of gratitude. And, I want to say thank you to all the nominees, all the non-nominees that have never been here and never will be here.
Everybody on the planet.
Why is he dedicating an award to people who will never be here? I mean,
I think that's his way of saying, oh, this is just, it's fine and all, but it's not where the real music is. You know what I mean? Like that kind of stuff. And the people who will never be here probably are indies that are too small and
right.
Blah, blah, blah.
And then wrapping up the very end of Bon Iver's speech for the Grammys last night.
I myself am a drummer, so and I've been lucky to have been exposed to a bunch of different types of music. My dad,
same guy though,
grew
right?
up listening to jazz.
Sounds like the same guy.
He loves all sorts of stuff. I'm not closed-minded. But that aside,
yes.
Let me see what else we could talk about here.
Yeah. Okay, we're out of time. Sorry, Max.
I hope they started playing him off.
All right.
Okay, let's go.
Let's do this. Beer Mug at the Grammy Roundtable interviews. A bunch of radio stations and their people show up, and they bring in the stars to be interviewed, if you want to call them stars. And Beer Mug, I think, is just he's bought himself another 3 to 4 weeks of doing this job. His interviews have been so entertaining.
I agree. He's done really well. You know, Safe House? Is that me or you? Get an email.
I think that would be.
You know, Safe House, the movie, and
yes.
How they used Kanye and Jay-Z, "No Church in the Wild." This song, the beat's
Sorry,
about
I had
to play.
I had to turn off my machine because of the instant message that just came in. But here we go. Here's the song you're talking about. And they won, by the way, Best Rap Album at the Grammys.
Yeah.
The
skies is a beast. Rolling in the Rolls Royce Caniche. Only the doctor's got this. I'm hiding from police. All right. So that's the song.
Mm-hmm. All right, what's the tie-in here?
That's the song that Beer Mug is talking to a mob wife. I don't know if you watch the TV show Mob Wives.
Mob Wives, yeah.
But Beer Mug is talking to mob wife Renee, and she's talking about Jay-Z and Kanye, and she's talking about No Church in the Wild, and he's not exactly sure that that's what's happening.
What any artists you're excited to see at this year's award show?
Jay-Z and Kanye this year, I am told. That song is just off the chart.
Are you referring to Black Gentleman in Paris?
No, not that one.
Although, good guess. I mean, that's probably, that note are the two most famous songs from that album. He had no way of knowing what she was talking about, but that's
Black
an
Gentleman.
Awesome way to describe it.
Isn't
I like it? That.
Well done. Now he's got neon trees in front of him.
Oh, nice.
And this is weird, but Beer Mug is laser focused on this one.
So you got a new album coming out.
We do. April 17th.
April 17th.
Yeah.
What's your drummer's name?
Elaine.
She's cute.
Man.
So you could ask this band anything about the new album, when it comes out, what's the story, tell us about it, is it, how long have you been working on it, does it sound like your old...
Elaine.
She's cute.
She's cute.
Yeah. Well, you know, drummers got to stick together. Beer Mug's a drummer, if you haven't ever mentioned that yet.
He is a drummer, it turns out. This is weird because Tyler from Neon Trees is sitting in front of Beer Mug, and this is how he ends it.
You're very talented, and I strive to be everything you are.
So,
who says that?
Beer Mug, if you're going to strive to be everyone someone is it the dude from Neon Trees?
Yeah. We spin the hell out of Animal on K-Rock.
I like the band. I think they're very talented. But really, of all the people in the world that you're going to strive to be everything they are, the guy from Neon Trees? Really?
A smooth dude.
You're very talented, and I strive to be everything you are. So,
thank you. All right. Nice. That's a good ending, though. I mean, really, that's about as good a compliment as you can get. Who is, who's Dev?
Dev, she sings Dancing in the Dark, and her famous one is Like a G6.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, Beer Mug is now hitting on her. Now he's feeling confident. He's, you know, now he's coming into his own. He's going to hit on her.
Uh-oh.
And once she closes him down... He's out. He's got nothing.
Well, Dev, you're very beautiful, I gotta say.
Thank you.
Are you single?
I'm not single, no.
Oh, darn it. What else you got going on?
So he's out.
Yeah. What else you got going on? Now he's sitting across from Tom Arnold. This is what kind
the
of a
Tom
weird...
Tom Arnold?
Yes,
the Tom comedian? Arnold. Okay.
This is what kind of a weird, like, the round tables at the Grammys are so bizarre because you'll be sitting there talking to Dev 1 second and the Neon Trees the second before. Now you're talking to Tom Arnold. Listen to the one movie that Beer Mug singles out as his favorite movie of Tom Arnold.
It's great. It's an honor to be with you, though.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's an honor. You know, I got to tell you, I loved McHale's Navy.
Oh, thank you.
Take it easy. No one loved McHale's Navy.
Great movie, Kevin. You ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's awesome.
No.
Yes.
Wasn't it the universal acclaim for Tom Arnold, the one movie he got straight up acting credentials for?
Was True that, Lies.
Yeah, yes. The Arnold Schwarzenegger.
True
that
Lies.
That one, yeah.
By far.
Doesn't compare to McHale's Navy.
No, you're right. It's way better. But Muggs is in a flattering mood. I strive every day to be like you. What the hell's going on? So now he sits down with Weird Al.
Yes, this Weird is Al what I've been waiting for all day. Okay.
This is funny because he starts out by trying to pump Weird Al up by claiming that nobody could even come close to touching him in his category.
Well, let me ask you, is there anything that could go up against your comedy album?
Yeah, probably a Louis C.K. who's going to win.
And he did, by the way. Al tweeted congratulations to all the people who would win in his category that weren't him on Saturday, by the way. So he knew he wasn't going to win any Grammys.
I love that because Muggs is like, oh, no one's even... Yeah, Louis C.K. who's going to win. Boom, he does. Now, and by the way, I don't know if you've heard, but... A lot of that going on with Muggs.
I don't know what he's doing.
A lot of that going on. Listen to the beginning of this interview with Al and see if you could.
Well, let me ask you. Is there anything that could go against?
Let me ask you.
Probably a Louis C.K. who's going to win.
Let me ask you.
Is that my?
Were you snacking on peanut butter between interviews, or what was going on there?
No, I think that's just a way to buy time in between questions.
Really? How much time does that buy?
Not that much.
I mean, you should come up with something that buys a little more time.
Like what? Then I'd be coughing every 5 seconds.
But your doesn't buy. It doesn't even buy you a second.
It's more subtle than coughing.
It's not subtle.
All right, let's move
it's
on.
It's annoying. All right, now he's talking to Weird Al about the Super Bowl.
A little bit of information I want to tell you. The Kevin and Bean Show talked to a Daily News writer.
And by the way, Beer Mug cannot just get to the point.
Yeah.
He can't just say,
it's painful.
Look, we've been talking about this a lot. What are the chances you would play the Super Bowl halftime show? He can't just say it that way. This is how he says it.
A little bit of information I want to tell you. The Kevin and Bean Show talked to a Daily News writer who has been kind of petitioning for you to play the next year, the Super Bowl halftime show next
year. I'm aware of this, yeah.
I think that's a good idea. What are your thoughts?
Well, if that job were offered to me, I would not turn it down.
Did you see this year's?
Now he's saying, did you see this year's Super Bowl halftime show? Now he's asking Weird Al what he thinks about the Madonna one.
I did.
And thoughts?
I would be funnier, I think.
Yeah.
A little.
Yes. You could do like a surgeon, maybe.
I would have a lot more wardrobe malfunctions if I were the halftime show.
Listen to Beer Mug.
Oh, my God.
Listen to him laugh.
It's so painful. I'm so embarrassed when I listen to Beer Mug start a question because all of Beer Mug's setups go back to first the earth cooled. I mean, he has to go way back to ever ask a question. It's just, it's horrible.
Listen, a little bit of information I want to tell you.
Who starts that way?
I'm uncomfortable sitting here listening to this.
I have some information that I would like to speak to you about.
The Kevin and Bean Show talked to a Daily News writer.
Now, at this point, everybody knows what he's going to say, but it just takes him.
Who has been kind of petitioning for you to play the next year, the Super Bowl the halftime show.
I'm aware of this, yeah.
Super Bowl.
I think that's a good idea. What are your thoughts?
Well, if that job were offered to me, I would not turn it down.
Oh, that would be sweet, wouldn't it? Honestly.
Is that all you talked to him about?
I talked to him about the album I used to listen to.
No. Is that all about that topic that you talked to him about?
You didn't
get into talking about the Facebook pages and then the petitions and all the stuff that's going on with
no.
it?
No.
Bean, I barely scratched the surface.
Okay. As you do.
Being so disappointed.
I am so disappointed. Well, because this is important to me. I want this to happen.
This is all Bean cared about was that.
Yes, I was looking forward to hearing an in-depth discussion of how we were going to make this happen, what Al's participation would be, what he's willing to do, what he doesn't want us to do. I mean, this was an opportunity for us to talk to the man himself about how we should proceed.
Bean.
Yes.
You've heard all of the Beer Mug interviews. What makes you think he's capable of turning a switch and now making a halftime Super Bowl work?
Because
he's still beer mugs.
When you put it that way, yeah, I'm the stupid one here.
Come on.
But because this is the first guy that sat down
right.
where he hasn't had to really shake his brain to look for something to talk about. He doesn't have anything to talk to Lou Ferrigno about or anything to talk to Joe Jackson about. But Weird Al, he knows what's going on currently with Weird Al. He has the benefit of the discussions that he's heard us have
and
in the last week or so.
He used that for 20 seconds.
Oh, you're killing me, Muggs.
My bad.
Ralph is on vacation this week. We are all taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat every hour. And ladies and gentlemen, does it get any better than Kat Corbett coming in?
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't.
You know how much I like to wake up early.
Especially after you work Sunday night. You do your local music show here on K-Rock Sunday night. So, you know, this is a pretty quick turnaround for you to get back in here.
Exactly. And I had to TiVo the Grammys because we continue to air it. After everyone else has seen it.
Ah.
By the way, thank you for bringing that up. We have not mentioned that today. The other shows have gotten into line. The Golden Globes, I think maybe even the Emmys, the Oscars, they all air it live across the country. In these days of social media, when you have the internet, how much sense does it make to tape delay a show like this 3 hours to the freaking West Coast?
None, right? I'm shocked again that it was on a date. You know, if they're concerned about ratings, if they replayed it again at 8 o'clock, people would still tune in.
Sure.
Right. Right. Play it at 5, and then if people want to watch it at 8, they can. But most people are interested in seeing stuff like that, newsworthy stuff like that, happen live. It's ridiculous at this point.
Well, it was great because I actually TiVo'd it, so I got to fast forward through the Grammys. So I just,
that
you
is
know,
the best way to do it.
And I tweeted like it was live at like 11 p.m. last night.
So when Glenn Campbell came on, you're like, fast forward.
Hell no! Rhinestone Cowboy, bring it!
Yes.
I was in.
Kat's going to do the showbiz for us. We usually use this sound effect
to signify
a new story coming up, but instead we're going to use.
how could you not? That's our tribute to Kat.
So what's the anniversary of that sound?
That's the noise that she made.
Are you going back? Are you going back to South by Southwest?
Of course.
Oh, we got to call you.
I know. Well, you know what? So sexy I am.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought I would pick out some of my highlights from the Grammys last night. Starting with the red carpet. If you watch the red carpet stuff, Deadmau5 was on walking the red carpet, and he had a T-shirt on, and I was told it was Skrillex's phone number, which is a 626, by the way.
Yes,
I have it, and sure. I called it, but it it doesn't work. They didn't set up the voicemail.
Aww.
So they like to play jokes on each other. I thought that was pretty funny. Congrats to...
Sorry.
Okay, go ahead. Chris Brown won a Grammy for Rhymin' and Beatin'. I hope you guys saw that. I had to see him once, not only once, but three times last night. Really? Chris Brown?
Yeah.
Chris Brown?
Yeah.
Really, at this point?
He's apparently back and popular again.
Oh, I hate all you people. All right, congrats. Congrats to the folks who put together the most awkward Beach Boys segment.
Oh, my God.
That was horrifying.
Why was it so awkward?
Well, it was... First of all, they had three different bands, including the Beach Boys, do Beach Boys songs. And then the Beach Boys themselves looked like they were in a rest home. I don't know.
The dude from Maroon 5 was off key. The dude from Foster, the people looked terrified.
Yeah.
And no one in the pit, all of the extras, had any idea who the Beach Boys were.
But at least it went on forever.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And I want to add this as a Beach Boys fan, by the way, that Good Vibrations is the hardest song in their catalog to sing.
Why choose? That's the one that the Beach Boys themselves did. I mean, it's a studio created song. It's nothing but layer upon layer of harmonies and vocals and sound effects and you know, it's a very difficult song to perform live anyway. Why choose that to try to at the stage that they're in where they can barely walk? Why come out and try to do the most difficult song there is? It would be like Muhammad Ali not coming out to nod but coming out to box at this point. Stop it already.
Oh, stop it. When will they add the best lip syncing and best auto-tune categories?
Yeah. They should.
When will
they really
just
should.
Do it already?
I agree.
Okay. Ryan Seacrest got announced twice, so he's the new Catherine McPhee, I guess.
That's true, yeah.
Yes.
On stage. I'm trying to figure out if Nicki Minaj is the drunk girl Ruthie from Real World Hawaii. Right? And whoever gave that performance a green light, have fun working at the 99 Cent store. You're going to love it.
I loved that performance only because everybody in the audience was so puzzled. Did you see any time they'd give a shot to the audience, they were like, what the F is happening right now?
I loved it. I thought it was the biggest, awesome exorcism. If she had given birth to a zombie baby and rode off on a unicorn, that would only make it
that would have been better, yeah.
Congrats to Adele for everything and for looking awesome. Screw you, Karl Lagerfeld. And
by the way, standing O four times for her. Mm. Every time she was mentioned, that whole place stood up. That was great.
And proving once again that no matter what you say with a British accent, you sound cute.
That's correct, yeah.
And I want to thank my record companies, Columbia Records and XL Records. And Nick Hodger, who signed me. He's in the UK. Oh, my God, a bit of snot.
See? That was nice.
Snot.
Snot even sounds sexy when she says it.
Oh, God, a bit of snot. Like, you want to do me now, right? I know. All right, moving along to the BAFTAs. Kevin, your favorite movie swept the BAFTAs, which the BAFTAs are the British Oscar equivalent. The Artist. Here's a bite, Kevin.
I can see why that was successful. I can see that. It won Best Screenplay. Artist won Best Screenplay.
There has to be a roadmap for your movie, Kevin, and that is the screenplay.
Are you kidding me?
Just directions.
How will the dog know what to do?
Oh, my God. It won Best. Oh,
I love that movie.
Loved it.
Would Kevin like it, though, Kat? That's the question.
No.
If he had a couple things that he has at Coachella, yes.
Okay. All right. Good enough.
Moving along.
I have to prepare myself properly.
And Woody Harrelson is pissed. He is new flick Rampart. I guess they had sent out 3,500 screener copies before the award season, and they were all defective.
Oh.
And legally, the Academy cannot resend. You have to actually request a new copy. So no one got to see it.
Wow.
Now, I'm not going to say it's as good as Kingpin, but it looks awesome.
I understand why he's ticked, though, because at the time that movie came out, he got tremendous reviews, and a lot of people predicted at that time he was going to be nominated for some awards because of his acting in that film. And that's how most of the critics see the stuff, right?
Yeah.
Most of the people who do the nominating see the stuff on DVD. So if you put your DVD in and it doesn't play, you don't bother to follow up, you're not going to see it.
I get really bummed. I'm a SAG member. Lisa May, you are, right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So when you every once in a while get a defective screener, it's just...
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, it's so annoying.
Yeah.
But I think he's just cranky because he had to lose 30 pounds for that role and he needs a cheeseburger.
And then no one saw it.
Yeah, exactly. Can I move along to celebrity birthdays?
Sure.
There's awesome ones. Jerry Springer.
Yeah.
Jerry.
I love you.
I love him so much, too.
He is 68. Peter Gabriel, 62. Peter Hook of New Order and Joy Division is 56. Henry Rollins, favorite aggro Iron Man, 51. I wish I had sound for this. I'm such a dummy. But singer Freedom Williams from CNC Music Factory is 46.
Oh, they do this song.
That's my favorite. That was my favorite from the 80s. And singer Feist is 36. That's the Showbiz Beats. I'm Kat Corbett.
Thank you, Kat.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Always.
And Kat, if we can get you to come in at 9:30 tomorrow and then at 9:15 the day before, soon we'll be out of here at 9.
That's our goal. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Allison Hayslip from G4. We have Brad Williams, comedian, in the studio. We have the Spider, Anderson Silva.
Oh, wow.
UFC middleweight champ of the world in the studio tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and